The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here,
it's shipped from somewhere else, isn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me, think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Wasn't sure when that bit ended.
That's why he points to you.
Plus, you guys were talking and
points.
I was listening
to you. Well, because it's PFW in Progress.
Wait
Our
a minute.
Conversation
so
is
Eric
in
and
progress.
I were discussing last night's weather just to ourselves, and you listened. But when we're actually talking directly to you on a radio show,
when
you
the mics
us.
Are on.
That right. fan is super loud, too.
It just shows how little I respect you.
You get the good ear.
I understand that.
And I want you to. welcome to PFW in Progress, where we keep the flame alive all off-season. Another special off-season edition. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Web radio at patriots.com. And the phone number is 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. A couple hot topics right off the top here. Patriots once again practicing at BC, over 40 players there, led by probably Tom Brady, among others.
Second day in a row.
Some of the reporters now are there officially kind of covering it, even though they're not supposed to be there. A lot of pictures through plants and things like that, and nothing really, you know, discernible.
The reporter's actually like hiding behind like little potted plants and like moving around.
Literally, one of Ian's Rappaport's photos from the Herald, you could see the plants like in front of his camera. So
I think he's just a bad photographer. That tells me.
Yeah. But you really can't make out anything. Although,
plus there's nothing to be made out.
No, but
they're in shorts.
But there are a couple.
It's a walkthrough, basically.
Right. There are a couple interesting things that have come out of it already. Kevin Faulk is there.
Yes.
I think that's interesting.
Sure.
The fact that he was wavering, didn't know. This is a step toward at least he's figuring it out, and he's there.
He's there today because the report yesterday didn't include his name. I didn't see it anywhere.
He is there.
Yeah, he was there today.
Specifically named today. Ty Warren looking thinner.
Yep.
Brady, no discernible limp or anything to do with the foot.
Mike Wright also taking part. We hadn't seen him since November.
That's a good thing. So we are getting some news here of, you know, guys out
Aaron
there.
Aaron Hernandez, who had hip surgery in February, back out there.
It's just so funny about the perspective. If this exact thing took place on the third day of training camp, all the reporters would actually leave and go start their writing early if this were like the afternoon session of the two.
Yeah.
But now it's like the biggest thing ever,
right.
taking
Super
photos
Bowl.
Through binoculars, and this guy's there, and it means this, and this other guy means this. It's just so funny, the perspective, because there's been nothing. There's been a blackout, basically.
Right. Well, I think it's better than nothing. I don't. Think
Eric thinks Brady looks chubby through the photos.
The photo yesterday, he looked like he had a gut.
You weren't the only one. We got comments to the blog or something that said, you know, put down the donuts, Brady.
Right. I think it was just like the wind blew
yeah,
his
when
shirt
he, when
at
he
one
was
point.
Going well, down the water slide, he didn't look like he had
No. I was joking.
I
didn't really think he got fat. It was just funny the way the photo was taken at the time when his...
Occasionally, he looks a little pudgy through the middle. I mean, not Paul-like, but just a little extra. Skinny, fat guy.
That's always been the case, though. When he had that infamous combine footage of him being
doughy.
Weighed and measured.
A little doughy.
A little bit.
He's not a guy, despite you think of him as the model-like, he doesn't have that six-pack where he's going to show you the abs type of build.
No. You know, so I think it's better than them not doing it. I don't know.
Sure.
This isn't the first step to the next championship, and they'll go back to, remember in BC, that's when it started. But I think it's better than
if they win a championship and you do three games to glory, there'll be something about that.
There will be.
There will be.
It will be.
I know
it's true.
We don't have the video, so we won't. But
somebody did.
I think we do have the video.
Did
actually.
Boston College give us some video?
I thought I saw something that we had it on our website.
No. No. You're thinking NFL
no.
film.
Oh.
NFL film sent us some stuff about talking about the fact that they got together.
Oh.
But all it was B-roll of actual games. It was no footage from BC whatsoever.
Oh, so that's a bad tease.
Yeah, and then, by the way, the geniuses at the NFL Network said they were at BU.
So. Oh. Well, their football field isn't being used either, so.
Right.
Do they still have a football
field? Well, yeah, because it's
that
I mean,
field's still
Nickerson
there.
Field. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a multi-purpose surface.
Doesn't the women's soccer team play there or something like
I think,
that?
Some
professional sports team
I think
play.
They play at Harvard, actually.
At Nickerson.
Yeah, I think they have
Is
in
it
the past.
Cannons?
Cannons
play at Harvard.
Yeah, lacrosse plays
That
there.
Women's soccer team did used to play at BU.
They
I don't
did.
Know if they still do.
I think they play at Harvard now.
They too?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so they're there.
I don't even know what that means.
What do you mean, they too?
They too?
They too. They play
also,
there as well?
As well as who?
Is this a joke?
The Cannons.
No, I think the Cannons still play at BU.
What about the Bazookas?
The Cannons play at Harvard.
Oh, they do?
They play at Harvard,
Oh, my
yes.
bad then. I'm sorry.
Yes. Cannons play at Harvard.
Okay.
More important.
The other news, yes.
Yes.
The bigger news.
A not-so-secret owners meeting is taking,
not anymore. Yeah.
is taking place as we speak in Chicago. Present are the labor guys that were involved in that group all along, Robert Kraft, Jerry Richardson, Mara Rooney.
Is that the
Jerry
executive
Jones.
Committee that they've referred to
Yeah,
before?
This is the committee. You know, there's a bunch of committees in the owners, but this is the committee that is involved with the labor negotiations. They're all there with Goodell, as well as DeMora Smith and a number of players, including, you know, Saturday and Vrabel and some of the others. So I look at this as nothing but a good sign. The fact that they're face-to-face is a good sign. And we talked about it before. It looks like the Eighth Circuit ruling will come down in favor of the owners, giving them extended leverage into the summer. That being the case, and if this is all about one side not trusting the other, what better time for the owners to say, hey, here's another offer than this? You know, when you're about to get all this new leverage, you know, I think it's a sign of good faith if – that's what they're doing. Now,
I just think it's a good sign that they're meeting.
Yeah, they could also,
I have no idea the goals of either side, but the fact that they're meeting.
They could also be there saying the owners to, you know, DeMora Smith, we got you where we want you. You better cave. But, so that would be terrible.
Well, no, I'd rather have that than not meeting anywhere. No matter what they're is saying,
I'd rather that the power brokers get together and at least start a dialogue and then have a judge or a lawyer get involved and say, you have to do this, you have to do that.
And as far as all the reports, there are no, you know, DeMora Smith is a lawyer, but other than that, no lawyers present. Another good sign, I think. Right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I do think.
Yeah, I think, I don't know how anyone could spin it as a bad thing.
You know?
So with Jerry Jones' comments, we're on the roll here.
Yeah,
Paul's here.
The only thing I said to Fred was, it is a good thing. It's not like you just said, I don't see how anybody could spin it as a bad thing. No, I don't either. The only thing that I would say to Fred, and I mentioned this to Fred and Eric, was I was surprised to find out that some owners didn't know about it. And
yeah, I'm okay with that.
I don't think that, if that's accurate, then I don't think it's as good a thing as it's being portrayed as. Because I still believe, and we've talked about it many times, that the larger problem here is owner-owner.
Right.
And if they're meeting without the knowledge of some of those owners, I don't necessarily think...
Tell me how many, and I'll let you know whether I'm worried.
There are only a handful there.
Yeah, so it's...
No, but if they all know. Well, if they're the only ones that know, I agree with you. But if 27 know and the only five that they left out, I don't care.
The ones that try
You're
to
not
squash.
Enough. You're
well,
not enough.
Well, you only need 24 to get it done.
Right.
Right. And so, that's what worries me. Yeah.
See, I'm only worried if it's a big number. If
What's
it's like Ralph Wilson, Mike Brown, and two others, I don't care. Your votes don't matter. You don't have enough votes.
Right. Right. Or they could, like we
Jason's
talked about.
Jason's trying to talk to you over there.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
today's
I don't mean
Jason's
to...
last day, by the way.
Yay!
Oh.
Good luck.
In honor of my last day, I'm buying you boys lunch.
Oh, you are? Thanks. See, look at you.
Not Andy for the comment that he just made.
Oh, wow.
He's going to find you. Going to find you.
The rest of you guys, I'll be buying you lunch.
Davio,
well,
thanks.
Wow.
Davio's
no,
or?
Grande.
Should have been the other way around. Shouldn't we have bought you lunch?
Shut the up.
It's fine. I've enjoyed
We've
working
bought him
you guys
lunch
for
the last 5 years.
He has stolen lunch via us for years.
Perlo has. Perlo and Freddie have bought lunch for me a couple times. Scals and Andy.
I think I bought you lunch once.
I doubt it. But
as long as it's being all benevolent, it was more than a couple of times.
Right. So Kev's going to place an order for you guys, and I'll try to come down before
Christ,
you guys.
Okay, yeah, and sit in because this is your last day.
Right. We got an empty chair over here.
Right. So sit in.
So is that your way of telling us that the lunch hasn't been ordered yet?
Oh yeah. Get on that. Order it. Crying out loud.
Throw in an order of fries.
Oh, and a bottle of water too, Kev. As usual.
And
six large pizzas.
Keep talking.
Okay.
Okay, we will keep talking.
The other thing, too, about the
CBS scene. I was looking for one of those cheeseburger subs.
We'll take it, though.
Oh, yeah.
The thing about some of the owners maybe not knowing, perhaps they wanted to keep this meeting so secret that they felt there were certain owners who wouldn't be able to keep it secret. I don't know who's. I'm not saying
Twitter
who or who, but.
Driving to Chicago to meet with the NFLPA. Yeah,
maybe that was one of the things they didn't want to have happen. They didn't want to have a media circus, and have
people. They did tell Jerry Jones.
Well, yeah, but
he's a bit of a walking media circus.
Well, you know what? And I know you're being a little bit sarcastic, but
am I?
Jerry Jones shows up in his private plane with a huge star on it. How do you think they were found?
Right. That's
someone at the airport put two and two together. That's how they figured it out.
He couldn't take the bus that he brings
to
the combine.
So really
which also has a huge star.
If they
star
really
on
wanted it.
It
to be a secret, much like I said about, you know, the whole secret workout things, if you really want it to be secret, you won't tell anybody.
And you certainly don't do it at Boston College if you really want it to be secret.
Yeah. Right. See, I was thinking they might do it on your property because there's plenty of places they can go.
And it would
go.
Still be a secret to Andy because once he gets home, he checks out. Right. I mean, he's done.
This
so.
Is that Jeff Saturday play I was telling you about.
I just ran him off the ball.
Watch.
So
watch when it comes back.
We're on
the radio.
Jeff Saturday against Wilfork.
Oh, and he trips. And he gets his legs tangled up with brewskis.
Just I don't think I've ever seen that happen before, and I don't remember that about that play. Wilfork just gets absolutely pancaked on that touchdown
Fred
play.
Paul thinks Wilfork's now overpaid and not that good because he watches one play.
Right.
Not an elite player.
That is the Andy Hart way of
Listen,
an analysis.
Oh, I actually told him when he said it. Playing the role of Andy Hart and making one play, like,
this isn't
the be-all,
end-all. This isn't the Tuesday version of the show where you just decided that everything about the Patriots was bad or and right. or overrated.
And,
no.
You know.
I worry about Devin McCourty.
Andy's line to me is, you know, I root for three teams in Boston market.
And your line was?
Except for, you know, the team that pays him.
Yeah, you root for right. one. He roots for three.
Right.
I'm objective.
Root for all the teams except for the one that actually, you know,
Speaking
pays
of which,
him.
Were you able to stay awake last night?
Hell no.
You didn't watch the
Fell
game?
Asleep and woke up three different various times.
Yeah, I learned about it on Twitter, 18.5 seconds.
And then for
But see, I give
I know
you the
I
pass.
Know that.
You
right.
don't really care.
Right.
For some
he
odd reason, I woke up right after it. I watched a significant portion of some of the post-game shows and then couldn't fall asleep. Which is weird.
Because he took a little nap.
Probably.
Winston Churchill, during World War II, every day would take a 20-minute power nap, and he said it allowed him to stay up late into, you know, early into the morning.
So he had that going for him.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Those little power naps are
I
very
I had a
effective.
Hard time falling asleep last night, too, after the game.
Well, that was a tough one. I mean,
just
was really
3 feet from the
He talks into the Coke bottle.
It was really a tough way to lose, though, Paul. I mean, I can see. I mean, seconds left to go in the game, and Thomas had played unbelievably. Luongo, it seemed, had played unbelievably.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, it was a very good game, but
because at that point
that was one that they
at
had
that
an
point you were thinking
to
right. Yeah, at that
was
point,
the kind of game they needed to play in order to win.
Right.
And they didn't
well, that's
win
the series.
Do you
feel
know.
Good about you played a good game, you showed you can play with them in their house?
No.
Or do you
that's
feel
how
bad
I feel.
You could have grabbed one
right.
See, I don't think
early.
See,
I'm with you.
See,
I'm the latter. I'm the latter,
too.
Yeah. I'm the former because I don't think the Bruins played a very good game last night.
But I thought Thomas was really good. I thought it should have been 2-0.
Thomas was excellent.
I thought it should have been 2-0 early in the game's
Well,
over.
Isn't that even more reason why to think we should have won that game because we didn't play that well and then we would have had a
That's what I'm saying. I'm disappointed. I thought we could have gotten one without playing our best.
Without playing
They squandered all kinds of opportunities. The first half of the game, they should have had a 4-1 lead. Easy.
Wow.
And they just didn't.
I thought it should have been 2-0 Vancouver before
right.
the game even started.
Vancouver, to me, had one really good chance in the first 30 seconds.
Chances early.
And then I don't think they had another good scoring
chance
until
the third
period.
Yeah, but you got to factor in all the penalties on Vancouver.
What about all the penalties on the Bruins?
I think the beginning of the game, Vancouver was dominating. Then all of a sudden, the Bruins went on the power play, and it was like they were back to even.
They got the next 18 shots in a row.
That four-minute power play, they got a ton of shots.
But I'm saying,
they went from being outshot 4-1 to outshooting them 15-4.
The only thing that stopped Vancouver's momentum were the penalties.
Yes. How do you get penalties? The same way the Bruins got penalties to stop their momentum.
Well, I think Vancouver's the better team.
They are a better team.
I think that the Bruins, that was the type of game they needed to have in order to win, and they didn't win.
See, I disagree with that. I think they need to score. They need to take advantage of their opportunities.
He thinks they need to score to win.
I can't argue with that. Paul's
win-based analysis and score-based
I don't think,
winning.
No, what I'm
you
saying
those
is,
two together, you got the key to sports.
Exactly, in order to score points, you got to put the puck in the net. I always say that.
I think if they play 4-2-1.
Tickle
to
the twine, a guy that said this morning. They got to tickle the twine.
If they play 4-1-0 or 2-1 games, they lose. This is what I'm saying. I disagree with you. I think they need to score to win, not 1-0.
Again,
they need to win 4-3.
In case you didn't hear me the first time,
he's going to hit somebody.
Then get
take
out.
Take it, Eric. It'll be funny.
Wait, what you're saying?
Because I get the moron twins who take it completely literal.
No, but
there's three of us here. Wait a minute. Which one of us is?
Then instead of Tyler Seguin playing 6 minutes,
he was awful last night.
Well,
he shouldn't have played the six that he played. He was costing them opportunities. He was terrible last night.
If what you're saying is true, you got to get him out more. I think.
If he plays well, he will play more.
Why do you want to get into a horse race?
I don't want to get into a horse race. I don't want to play Vancouver in their game.
Okay.
They're a shutdown team. They will win games 1-0.
Okay.
That's how they play. I don't like the Bruins' chances trying to beat that particular team. More often than not, the Bruins will be a good team in a 2-1 game.
Yeah.
I think if you try to beat Vancouver 2-1, you're going to lose more often than not.
It's an interesting philosophy.
You can't win just one way against a team that's better than you. I agree with you,
don't
Fred.
Back
Vancouver
down.
Is better.
You clearly don't agree with them, so don't back down. You're the hockey guy. You've been to every game this
they
postseason.
Needed,
rip him a new one.
As Fred said last night, Vancouver had the momentum early, and then the Bruins took it away with the power plays.
Have his own show.
You need to score on those power plays. That's where they lost the game.
The
I know that you don't think the power play is important, Kevin.
As you
email me in the middle of the game. Well, at least we didn't give up the momentum with that one. Yeah, you did because you had a 4-minute power play and you scored.
You two were texting during the game.
Not last night. This was game.
But I feel
six
like, I feel like power plays can be effective without scoring on them. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
Not
I would
the
agree with that.
Trend of the Bruins.
Absolutely
yes,
right,
yes.
Fred.
Right.
I'm with you, Freddie. You watch more hockey than you let on.
Well
if that was just a regular power play game last night, their power play was far better than it has been any time in the playoffs.
The fact that
they're 8% on the power play
is terrible.
Right.
Diminishes any of the good things they did.
They have the second best power play left in the playoffs.
TG and NJ says, guys, no power play, no cup. Their lack of power play will be their undoing. No score on a 5-on-3, not good. That's TG and NJ.
TG
had a 5-on-3?
Yeah, that chance.
For a minute and a half.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Vancouver had a 5-on-3, too.
The chance that Recchi had.
But they also had a 4 minutes on 5-on-4.
They had a 4-minute power play early that they didn't score on, and a minute and a half 5-on-3. Vancouver's 5-on-3 was short because they called a terrible penalty.
Vancouver's power play was awful in its own right.
Well, I thought the Bruins did a much better job killing the penalties than Vancouver did.
Yeah.
Luongo killed the Bruins' penalties.
Exactly.
He was unbelievable in that first period.
All right.
Best penalty killer.
So back to the Patriots. On the table, we've got this owners' meeting in Chicago. What do you think about that? Are you encouraged by it? Then we have the Patriots working out once again at BC. What do you think about
Tom
that?
Tom Brady working at wide receiver. Thoughts? Yeah. What do you think?
Finally joining the ranks of teams with 40 to 50 players, not the little 10 or 12.
What do you think of Kevin Falk
being there? No, it was tweeted out. Tom Brady lined up at wide receiver. On the
I also heard
it's a walkthrough.
It's a good thing we have these informal workouts. They're going
to
be the difference.
And to show the importance, I also heard that his massage therapist was playing center, so snapping him the ball. So
I have no comment on that.
Are you being serious?
No,
like
I
that?
Am absolutely serious.
Yeah, so it's a good thing we have these informal workouts.
Right.
They're definitely going to be the difference between winning and losing come January.
So, you know. But
it all started at BC.
It's better than the
when
alternative.
He had his massage therapist bent over in front of him.
All right, see,
I
knew he was going to take it there.
He had to take it somewhere.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that's gay to have your massage therapist act as your center.
What does it matter what his occupation is?
After the
he
first
rubs you for a living. Now you're returning the favor.
I knew.
Did you hear this one?
What?
After the first walkthrough at BC.
Right.
I knew they were going on your feet.
And let's talk about the fact that they clearly wanted it out there. or they wouldn't have done it at Boston College. They would have done it somewhere else. You could find a little high school feel, a little. They got all these private school coaches and.
If they didn't want it out there, Wes Welker wouldn't have said 2 weeks ago that I've talked to Tom.
Yeah,
but beyond
we're
going to
get together in a couple of weeks.
Beyond that,
he told us that it was happening.
The only major football facility in the Northeast,
right,
to hold your walkthrough at. You could have found some high schools, Zavarian, these schools that have these turf fields. Anything you needed is available somewhere else.
Even if they
else.
Wanted to go down to UConn.
But Boston College has students just milling about. So even if no reporter, it's going to get out there through this day and age of Facebook and, oh, just saw Tom Brady practicing on the field. And I mean, it's going to get out there. It's obvious. They wanted it out there, right?
Yeah, either that
it's
or...
It's just like Brady
care.
Doesn't like the paparazzi, but he makes out in front of the window at the restaurant.
They didn't
he
care.
Wants it out there.
They don't care as much as we think they cared about it not getting out there. Right.
They didn't hire a cop like the Panthers who really wouldn't let anybody near him, which I also have a problem with. It was a public high school. Wait a minute. Are you telling me if I come to work out on the track that day, I can't jog on the track that I paid for through my taxes? You
well,
got to be out of your flipping mind.
However, if they were paying them rental fee, then they would have a right.
Do you think they were?
I don't know.
I'm the one who's going to get upset.
If they paid significant money to rent out that field for the day, that's fine. Because now my tax dollars are being aided. They're supplementing the income of the school.
Right.
I doubt that happened.
I doubt it.
These sense of entitlement NFL players think they own the world.
Okay.
Wow. They do.
Web Radio.
I don't disagree with you.
Web
Radio. I mean, if they were at East Providence High or North Providence High and you were going to do your morning workout or do your little kicking thing, you were prepping for your versus Gostkowski, you paid for that school. You have the right to go there. And you're going to tell me a cop's going to say you can't come in because a bunch of NFL crybabies, who, by the way, have their own training facilities, are taking the field for a few hours? It's ridiculous.
The tangents.
Wow.
But,
Freddie, I got something for you, though.
What do you got?
Fact. I was thinking of you last night, how you'd be very upset about this.
Yeah.
So if the Bruins were somehow to win the cup,
The
Patriots would have the longest championship drought in Boston.
We already talked about
that. We talked about that on Tuesday. Yeah. Thanks.
Try to listen to the show. Well, numb nut.
Really, really is amazing.
Dude, I'm dead serious. I had my earphones off ordering you lunch for 10 minutes.
I
realized this was Tuesday.
That. I realized that.
I wasn't paying attention. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's the answer I was looking for.
The answer is you're an idiot.
The other thing you guys have been busy with today, we had access to a bunch of coaches, and so we did what we call put them through the car wash.
Very, very productive morning.
They sat down with Patriots Today, Lindsay Petrucci and Brian Lowe, and then you guys had your shot at a lot of the coaches. And so over the course of the summer and for different times, we'll be releasing a lot
Maybe
of
the fall.
These interviews. And
next winter.
They're not X and O interviews. They're not, what do you feel about the 2011 season? But there are interviews about everything else. In general football, what do you do in on your spare time? How did you get into coaching? That whole thing, and it's interesting. You get to know some
it's
of these
of
guys.
Sort of a takeoff on the training camp feature that we do on some of the lesser known players, getting to know.
Right.
Well, this is getting to know the coaching staff, and hopefully we can put it together in a fashion that allows you to get to know them.
Right.
It's a little overwhelming right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we got 30 plus minutes on the recorder for all these various coaches. Some of it with the Patriots Today, people asking questions, then us sitting down separately. There's a lot here. A lot of transcribing going to go on in the next few days.
A lot of transcribing, a lot of figuring out the pieces and
best
how to put
way
it together.
To,
yeah, we're going to get a lot of mileage out of all these interviews, though.
Yep. But keep your eyes out. Patriots.com, PFW blog, Patriots Football Weekly. You'll be getting a lot of insight into the assistant coaches in the coming weeks and months.
So while the rest of the reporting world is, taking pictures through rose bushes.
Right. Of Tom Brady in shorts. Long hair in shorts.
We're creating some real content for you. So
that's right. That's the value add you get with Patriots football.
And you still find out that Kevin Faulk was at practice.
Exactly. Right.
You don't miss anything. You get more by paying attention to us.
Right. Like, I wish I had run with it yesterday when I said to Eric when we were walking down here, I haven't seen Mr. Kraft's car in a while. What's he up to? Where is he? Right. Now come to find out he's in this clandestine meeting with the players. I knew I was on to something. Right. My reporter's nose was sniffing.
Yep.
What are the odds that Andy and I
so
used
I hope,
clandestine
in
the same day?
I hope
you used it too today?
Kevin, I hope you're
when we're in
keeping
the,
track of the Twitter.
KSP.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter.
Make sure that you're following Adam Schefter and Mortensen and those types of guys in case anything comes out of Chicago, which I doubt.
Yeah, nothing will come out.
Because I'm sure that, if, let's just say that they
foundation,
had something substantial, each side
would have to go
back
to their,
its,
it's foundation.
Rank,
they're
right.
putting
file.
A couple bricks on right. there.
Didn't they leave yesterday?
Who what?
What?
That whatever they went to Chicago it was yesterday. Weren't they coming back? I thought they...
It might be over by now.
Yeah, I thought the people got... the picture of Mr. Kraft getting on his plane to go home.
Might be.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, I thought that's the way I thought.
I mean, they
were
reporting today
anyway.
Who was there, so maybe they're just getting the reports from yesterday.
Yeah, news
know.
Might now be starting.
Yeah,
to
no,
trip
it
out.
Was a late thing. You talked about not being able to
during the hockey
to
game.
Go to sleep after the hockey game. One of those show, the Comcast show, the Mohegan Sun show. They had our favorite Herald writer on,
and Steve Buckley,
and they were talking about that. Meehan.
No, he's not my favorite Herald writer.
No,
Howie
your
Carr,
favorite, your favorite
doesn't even rank in the top five. I can go five deep
Herald
before
writers?
I get to him.
Oh, I can go a lot deeper than that.
Yeah, but you.
Whoa!
Not that
Mark
funny.
Tape. He likes to go as deep thing. As the inside track. Which one is it you like?
Easy.
Oh, speaking of that, you guys have been keeping up with the.
I heard
the guy from New York, the representative Anthony Weiner.
Weiner. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know the story, but
he had a picture of his Weiner.
Yeah, and
you didn't hear about this?
No,
he's made this mess worse for himself by not just coming out and saying it might be me. In the picture, because he's definitively said, I did not send out that picture. I didn't tweet it.
But I can't say
it's definitely not me. But he wouldn't actually answer the question, so he's just made it worse for himself.
But he doesn't want an he's doing his own investigation, but he doesn't want a government investigation.
Right.
That would be a waste of tax dollars and time.
Money.
The cover-up is always worse than the crime.
Yes. I mean, he's not necessarily guilty of something criminal, but he seems to be guilty of something embarrassing at the very least.
And the most embarrassing thing is his name.
Yeah. The New York
Post. But
he
should go the normal politician's route. Due to an unfortunate reaction from prescription something, I accidentally sent out a picture of my wiener last night.
Right. Well,
and move on.
But yeah, just, I mean.
It worked for your Kennedy guy. He drives drunk and you just claim it was something.
But the New York Post headline today was, it was Wiener Exposed. And then it said Congressman admits his wiener may have been tweeted in the picture.
He did. I can't say it definitely wasn't mine.
That's great.
My wiener's floating around the internet.
I still can't believe we had tornadoes here yesterday.
Well, that's the other thing.
Deadly tornadoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Four people died.
Did you hear the story,
tornadoes.
No. The woman who put her 15-year-old daughter in the bathtub climbed on top of her. The house collapsed. The woman died. The daughter lived.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I did hear about a coach of some youth team, maybe basketball or something. They were in a gym. And he decided to get them to go in the basement, and then when it was all over, they came upstairs, and the place was level. It was all open sky and everything.
Wow.
They would have been goners. Wow. Yeah.
It's unbelievable, because we rarely have them in New England.
Right.
Did you see the video of it crossing the river?
The
in Springfield?
Unbelievable. Yes.
With it sucking the water in and up?
Yep.
That's really cool.
I didn't see that.
This huge expanse of water, and it's all being pulled in by this huge
vacuum.
My
son looked at that
really?
And goes, that's God right there.
He's right. You don't mess with Mother Nature.
That's God.
It really makes you...
He's a very deep sword.
No, but it's true. Like you think all this technology that we have and all these things, and it can be wiped out
in an instant.
Look at the tsunami in Japan. All of a sudden, there's nothing you can do.
Nothing more powerful than God or Mother Nature, whichever
and
one.
And you're right, Fred. Like, the fact that it's all this stuff's been happening in like the central part of the country, and we're saying, thank God we don't get that stuff in New England. And then all of a sudden, late in the day when we were driving home, we're like, we better get home pretty quickly. Because
Doc had his going away party last night, and I texted him and said, I'll be there in a bit. I had to go home and put away like the umbrellas and stuff by the pool because
I took everything off the deck, and I, bungee corded the grill to the side of the railing. But I was thinking, this is silly. If we get something like that, this is silly.
Right.
Good. My grill will go with the deck when it blows away.
The whole deck will go. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you get the tornado, there's not much you can do. But
I thought we were going to get like really high. Well, we got severe thunderstorms, but I thought we were going to get really high winds with them. And
actually,
really wasn't.
I didn't get the severe thunderstorm.
Oh, God.
I got nothing.
I had
not a drop.
I
not
had
a wind,
more
not
lightning
anything.
Last night than I really can ever recall. And it was almost like it was light out. It was coming so quickly.
That, was?
That means it was.
That was God.
It was really. It was that's
that
God.
Was him too. Yes,
that's God. Right. But it was one after another. So you know that they're that close.
Right.
And I don't know. Were you watching any of the news? They had like the different storms, and then they would have the cities and towns and the estimated times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was freaking me out. I don't know about you guys.
And I like when they call it the supercell and stuff. Mm-hmm. They have these new terms that they bring out.
Yeah.
Well, I'm listening to BZ 1030 AM, which is like the all-news station here locally. And, they're saying, this is for real. This is not just a prognostic. You know, this is not
get
us
to your
thinking,
lowest
this
floor
is for real.
Interior
you know,
room.
And it's scary. When
well,
you,
yeah, and then when they came, like you know, I was getting ready to watch the hockey game, and there, and all of the channels, all the regular networks were just all weather all the time, and they're telling you there's a watch in effect until such and such an hour, and I don't know if they're talking necessarily about tornado, like if the tornadoes were coming to you know inside 128, and I was freaked out for about. Maybe 20 minutes, a half an hour when they kept
saying
they were
coming. And which one is worse, the warning or the watch?
The watch means that
one
it's
of
imminent.
Them
the warning
imminent.
Means just pay attention.
The warning, the watch means
the warning,
someone has spotted a funnel cloud.
The warning was for everybody, basically, and then the watch
is more
specific
more centralized.
But they were talking about how they were coming, you know, more toward the eastern part of the state. I mean, obviously, they touched down in western and central Mass.
And we're moving
in Springfield,
eastward.
Brimfield, Worcester. I think Worcester, was the closest one to Boston. That touched down.
Right.
But I like the way they kept talking, it was like, well, they're coming.
Mm, right.
And, you know, I just.
Yeah,
you know,
and they did give time frames,
you know,
like 5:15 to
sleeping,
6 o'clock.
I was
you
like,
had this, right. this county
they,
is.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was like, at what point do you know you're supposed to, like, go grab the kids and go in the basement?
Well,
if
that's
they're
exactly.
Sleeping? Like,
and then
when
I,
do you reach that point?
Like, I tend
do you wait till something flies by the window? Or?
I don't really even have a basement. I have a split level. You know, the downstairs is technically partially below ground. And I was like, is that good enough? I was going to go in the boiler room. I didn't really know what to do. But I was thinking of all these things. And then they said, if a cloud forms, you'll hear it. It sounds like a freight train coming.
Yeah.
So I was like, if I hear a noise, do I have time to run upstairs and get TJ? Because Will was down with us. Will wanted to watch the start of the hockey game. He watched the first period before he went to bed.
Right. Maybe
longer like you and me.
More importantly, what do you do with all the Diet Pepsi?
See,
you drink it.
I was like legitimately concerned.
Then you enjoy it, and it weighs you down.
He's gonna stock his bunker with a bunch of Diet Pepsi.
I just kept the Weather Channel.
Everybody
on.
Else has canned food and water. He's got canned.
Well, that
of
was
diet
funny. Did you hear Maddie in the morning making fun of Lisa this morning? Lisa, I guess, texted to Billy. It was like, you know, how Billy's been saying like the end of the world is coming. All these like massive weather events. Mm-hmm. Billy Cost is convinced like the end of the world is
right.
Is
so
is
that
next
guy
December.
With the bus or whatever.
Yeah.
So Lisa texted Billy saying, "This is here's your end of the world" or something like that. And then, but she legitimately started taking everything in the way we all did while her husband watched the hockey game. And she got like water, canned tuna fish and stuff, and brought it down the bed. And they're like, "What were you gonna do with that?" Like, Maddie was like, worst case scenario, if the tornado hit, you'd have been in your basement for about 20 seconds.
Right.
Your house would be gone. Nobody, you know, if you're trapped under a pile of rubble, you better have that tuna fish in your hand.
Worst case scenario, the house explodes. You can pick up that can of tuna off the front lawn later when it's just sitting there.
Some of those pictures. You see
but
the picture
how do you think Ryan Mallett feels? He's
down there
and they have tornadoes.
He comes
back here where there's no tornadoes and there's tornadoes.
Did you see the picture of that tree that took the whole the whole grass?
Yeah. I was hoping some of that would happen in my backyard. Oh, I want to get
that's
of those
why
trees.
You deserve bad things to happen.
What?
Our next thing, based on all this, the end of the world is the hurricane. Because it's hurricane season starts like
this week. June 1st.
So we're due for one of those. With all these, there's been earthquakes, there's been tornadoes, there's been all this. We haven't had a bad hurricane season.
It's really
season
not
in
the
a while.
End of the world. It's just the end of humans. The world will be here
maybe
after we're gone.
What if
maybe
it blows up?
If there's a supernova.
It's not blow up from a hurricane.
How do you know? But if there's a larger issue here. You can't say that with certainty.
It's not going to blow up from a hurricane.
You can't
How
say
can
that.
You say with certainty the world's not going to blow up?
They've had ice ages and everything, and the world was still here.
But it'll end at some point.
Life ends.
It's filled with molten lava. At some point, it could blow up. Thank you. Move on.
I think.
No, I think. Ideal in facts.
I know for a fact that the world could blow up. That's a fact.
With nuclear bombs, yeah.
It could
whatever.
On its own.
Right. I'm not saying it will, or we'll ever know it did, but it could. You can't say it couldn't.
As long as there's pressure.
And I don't want you scientists emailing in.
As long as there's pressure.
This is me and Fred here.
As long as there are pressure releases like volcanoes, it won't.
Fred's ready to give the eulogy of
how can you
here.
Say the world
could
not possibly
you have to
blow
have
up.
Combustible pressure in order for an explosion.
You have no idea what Mother Nature and God are capable of.
He just looks over it and gives
I
the,
was just going to I love when Freddie throws the terms out, but then he gave me the look anyway.
Read an email.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Jeez. Web radio, I just said that.
508-298-0398
is the ace ticket hotline. Christian from Denmark wants to know if Andy and Fred could have a arm wrestling match to see who would win that.
I think Fred might win that. Those big fat shoulders would give you some leverage.
No, I think you would beat me righty. I might have a chance lefty, but probably
by you switch hands.
I'm You're a lefty. He's lefty.
I'm a lefty.
So that is a tough one.
Well, you'd have to do both.
Right. Someone would have to go on
you
the
still need
hand.
To have a
Oh, you would kill me left-handed. I can't even, like, when I pick up a gallon of milk, it feels weird left-handed.
Really?
Even though I have the strength, it just feels awkward. It just doesn't feel right.
You guys need to have a
pun intended.
You need to have
because you don't
your,
bench correctly.
Shut up.
You don't. You have your elbows out.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
I can tell the way your arms are. They're bent in.
You need to have a sequel to the push-up contest.
You know,
and
you
have to do, I'm sore.
No, not today necessarily, but you need to do the pyramid one where you do one, he does one, you
or
do
clapping.
Two, he does two.
Or we get to sit on each other's backs while they do it.
Well, I'd have a big advantage there.
Yeah, definitely.
You weigh 600 pounds.
Christian also says about the weather, it's not this God fellow causing the bad weather. God it's fellow. A disturbance in the force. The Jets are growing stronger. It could be. You know, ever since Rex Ryan took over, the weather's been taking a nasty turn. So, could be.
So he's more powerful than Belichick? Why can't Belichick squash it?
He might.
Well, there's going to be an Armageddon. There's going to be the war of good against evil.
Right.
You take your pick as to who's
like
who.
Heat, Heat Miser versus what's Heat Miser's brother's name? Heat Miser.
Cold Miser.
So no. Which
Snow Miser.
Rex Ryan would have to be Heat Miser. He's the bombastic one. Makes Bill Iceman.
That's a good point.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Iceman.
So it's very interesting things going on.
Very,
very, very, very interesting.
508-298-0398. Let's go to.
Guadalajara.
I'll pick Buddy in Tallahassee.
Kuala Lumpur.
Hey, Buddy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
What's up, Buddy?
Nothing. I just wanted to let you guys know that actually a watch is less than a warning. Like, if you get a watch first, then it's just kind of watch out.
I think you're right, Buddy. I didn't want to get involved, but you're right. The warning is more severe than the watch.
It was a serious question, and I need to know.
I was asking a serious question.
Hurricanes
too.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You want if it's a watch coming out, it's not as bad as a warning. If you get a warning, then you really need to
batten down the hatches.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
I
don't know what that means.
I thought it was the opposite, only because I thought a watch meant that one had been seen.
That's the opposite.
And a warning is that the conditions
are
ripe for one to occur.
Well, if you watch for it, it hasn't been seen yet.
You're right,
warned that
it's the opposite. Watch is the conditions are favorable. Warning is it's coming.
Okay.
All right.
So watch is just be on guard.
Good
warning
to know.
Is something's imminent. Okay.
Well, we had both last night anyway.
Yes, we did.
There are tons of pictures still of being
we definitely get a lot in Florida with tornadoes and hurricanes and floods and all that fun stuff, too.
Well, get ready, because I'm worried about this hurricane season with all this other crap going on.
Well,
Buddy, you're in the panhandle, right? Over there?
I'm up in the panhandle, in the middle of the panhandle. I'm actually up in Tallahassee at Florida State.
So do you get hurricanes up there, or do they normally go more toward Texas?
They normally go towards Louisiana and Texas. We do get a few smaller ones here. Yeah. The bigger tornadoes are normally hurricanes are normally Central Florida and South Florida, which is actually where I'm from, is South Florida. We got a bunch of really bad ones down there when I was younger, so.
Yep. Anything about the Patriots you want to talk about?
No, that was it.
Okay. Let's talk about the weather. That's cool.
Us either.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Thanks, buddy. Buddy,
you think he knows Junior Seau?
Buddy. Asante Samuel, the 54th best player on the NFL Network's useless listing of the top 100.
Oh.
System corner.
Yeah. Luckily, they have plenty of footage of all his interceptions. So show him running down the sideline, picking people off.
Ben writes
who's
in.
Who's this guy who's talking about him?
Don't know.
People can't see that, Andy. We're on radio.
But these people
I love every once in a while when Fred throws that one out there.
Or probably have seen it. These people are crazy. They love football. They probably watch this show. Even though I think it's useless, they probably watch it every week.
Let's see. Ben writes in. He says, hey, girl. And Fred, Andy, and Paul. First time.
Hey, girl.
First time email.
Is Ben from Dover?
Hey, girl.
First time emailer here. I've been listening ever since a Pat's app was out for the iPod. You guys are awesome. And Eric, I have a scenario game. Scenario one.
You guys are awesome. And Eric.
And Eric.
He's just trying to bait me. He's not
it's not going
to
work.
Nope, it's not going to work.
I'm not going to make God angry by breaking my promise to him.
Scenario one. One first rounder in 12 in the third round of 2012 and a third rounder for Larry Fitzgerald.
Not the 12th
year.
Right.
First and a third rounder for Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes. I would do it.
Yes.
Scenario two, first and second and third for DeMarcus Ware and Roy Williams.
Do I have to take Roy Williams?
Yeah, I don't really want Roy Williams.
Would you do the first, second, and third for DeMarcus Ware?
That's a lot.
I'd go first and third.
Can we go back to the first and third?
First and third.
I'll do the first and third.
Okay.
I don't really care.
What if the Patriots could say, because they do have two firsts and two seconds coming up, right?
Yeah.
So what and if Andy they goes said, with his theory?
Oh, yeah, you're not losing anything, right? And you added right. DeMarcus
if
Ware.
If the Patriots could choose which one at the time, so whichever is the lower, that's the one they give when they find out, you know, what
whichever
it is.
Pick is lower. I would do the first, second, and third for DeMarcus Ware. I definitely would. Yes, I'm all in.
That's a lot.
It'd be disingenuous if I bitched about them needing that position, wanting to trade up to Quinn. I can get the best at that position for a first, a second, and a third, and I have extras. Hell yes, do it now.
And
plus, he's got a contract. He's already had a huge bonus, so I don't even have to eat some of that.
I wouldn't be criticizing them for giving up too much if that happened. Yeah. I think that's a steep.
If you look at it, for you know whether DeMarcus Ware, if you look at he's first round value. Okay, so there's your first round. So really, only you're giving up a second and a third.
I love how we all rationalize in different ways that it makes sense.
I think guy is that talented and it's that big a need that I would.
Yeah.
I wouldn't criticize giving up a first, second, and third.
How many guys are we going to draft over the next 20 years? I mean, every year we get 12 guys, 9 guys. We don't need them all.
That's part of why I would give them up is based on our history.
And his final scenario was first rounder for a second rounder just for the hell of it.
Only if Andy Reid asks.
Ben is from Iowa.
See what you did there.
They got tornadoes in Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
But
they're supposed to. They went into life in Iowa knowing they were going to get tornadoes.
Is that kind of like when you buy the house that's next to the stadium and then you complain about the traffic?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Or near the airport and you complain about the planes taking off.
Exactly.
Right. Now, if they put up an airport after you have the house,
that sucks.
Yes.
Right.
Why is everybody looking at me?
Because you're the only one who could actually live in a house that they could put an airport next to. Right on your land.
Or with property that could have a landing strip.
Eminent domain. We're going to take this part property.
Why don't you open up a private airport?
I don't have that much land. If I got a little more than my neighbor, I could. You bump him
get a little
off
easement.
But I wouldn't want an airport in my backyard. Because then it'd be loud all the time.
No, just get like a small, like the small plane I was telling you about the other
they
day.
They still make noise. Yeah, but not like a regular commercial airport.
You know my thoughts on them, Eric.
Yes, I do.
What do they occasionally do?
Crash.
Miss the landing strip and crash near it, which is where my house is.
He crashes into his house trying to land his plane. That'd be
hysterical. Oh, I'm not flying a little airplane. I'm not flying a little airplane.
That'd be hysterical.
That airplane wouldn't be able to get any lift, though, because of the disproportionate...
I don't get in a plane that has a prop.
Head size.
That's my rule.
Tiani from Vancouver.
Be like Fred Flintstone.
Writes in. And
what you talking about today? Well, the pros and cons of having an airport on
the airplane
like that one. They have that big one where John Travolta owns a house, and it's all around, and they can land 747s, and they pull up right to their house like it's a driveway.
Oh, forget about that. Yeah,
Travolta's got one of them. I don't know how many slots there are, but it's for these super rich with super big planes.
And he's another one of those guys. I'm not going to have to pay someone to fly. I'm going to fly myself around.
Good, you can crash yourself.
Right.
Tianyi in Vancouver says,
what's that name?
Tianyi.
That sounds like Junior Sales.
How do you spell it?
T-I-N-Y-I.
Y-I? I don't know.
Why you?
You said you.
She says, just letting you know that you do have listeners in Vancouver.
Good.
It was absolute bedlam here after game one. I'm a big fan of Boston sports teams in general, but in this case, I got to cheer for the Canucks. We ain't got nothing else to cheer for. Anyway, big fan of the show. It's remarkable that I found you guys just as hilarious despite the lockout and lack of news and material. Fred and Andy have really stepped up the comedy quotient to keep the show entertaining. Assuming there's a season, which of the rookies do you expect will have the greatest impact in one, the 2011 season, and two, in the long run?
Now, that's a good question.
Nate Solder
is the easy answer.
And both the short and long term.
Oh.
And I think Rozai Dowling is the second most impactful player in 2011.
Okay.
Well, Nate Solder is, I think, the obvious answer for the 2011.
I think short-term Solder is...
Oh, 11, I like to call it.
And then long-term,
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say one of the running backs short term might have more of an impact.
I think Marcus Cannon could be a guy long term if he's if he's able to be healthy and be a part. I think everything I've read about the guy physically, he's dominant, and I think he could be.
But he's a guard.
No, yeah. I know.
And if Solder's as good as you think he is, but what if he turned
out
trump him?
What if he turned out to be Mankins though?
But I expect Solder to be I expect Solder to be better.
Then you would have a Mankins caliber player at both positions.
Let me ask you a question about Mankins.
In his first and second year, were you saying, "Wow, this guy's having a big impact," or was he, "Wow, he's just solid"?
Mankins. He was stood out right from the beginning.
He's a
I think.
Rock. Okay. Good.
I remember a play in his rookie year where he pulled, and I forget who he was playing, what team they were playing against, but it was he went to the sideline. And he really, like, he knocked a guy down
punched
and, like.
Punched a guy in the nuts?
I don't know if it was the punching
guy. Pretty
sure
that
was
his rookie year, right?
It was. And to be, he does do that, and it's a gay comparison or whatever, or overrated or whatever, but it's the same, you have the same highlights of John Hanna.
Yeah.
Where he comes around the corner, he throws a shiver, exactly. And he blows somebody up.
Right.
Mankins was like that immediately.
He had the mustache.
This guy owns his area on the football field. When he's on the field, he owns his area.
Yeah, right. And I agree with you, Freddie. The running backs are definitely in contention.
What about Mallett? If Mike Lombardi's right and Bill Belichick was going to leave but decided he wants to coach Ryan Mallett so badly he stays another 10 years, then he's the answer.
I still need to be convinced about Mallett.
Me too. And he's got to stop getting chased by tornadoes.
Well, yeah.
Keep him away from the stadium.
Johnny from Leeds and Noel, the biggest little Pats fan in the UK, write in. Coming from England, obviously soccer is my main sport on TV. My team, Leeds United, spent last season making their ranks stronger with loan signings. This led me to ponder whether the NFL had ever considered this aspect. The basis is, take Ryan Mallett. We would send him to the Dolphins/Cardinals/Redskins, where he would take the starting job for one or two seasons and gain valuable experience in the NFL. The team would pay 50% of Mallett's wage and would not be able to start him against the Patriots as part of the agreement. If we suffer injuries such as Brady, we are able to recall Mallett at any moment. So the deal works both ways. We get to see Mallett in real game situations and let him get the experience so we can decide if he can be the future or his trade value would rise due to the experience. The other team gets a QB and a chance at success. Would it also work for players like Darius Butler? Send him to the Texans, see if he can regain the confidence to push the starters again.
Wait,
do they do this in soccer?
The same league?
Yes. Remember the conversation I unfortunately got Paul in with one of the members of the Revolution here, who I actually had a question about this phenomenon of loaning players. In soccer, they do this a lot. If you have a guy who you think is talented and has potential, but you have too many superstars on your team and you don't have room to play him enough, you loan him and his contract to another team so that he gets the playing experience. It could even be a rival, but he doesn't necessarily hurt you because the other team is absorbing some of his salary and giving him time to play and to develop. And then when you finally do need him, you either that team that you loaned him to either gets to buy out the contract and keep him, or you get to take him back.
It's kind of weird.
Very weird. But it's another reason to not like soccer.
Bingo. No, but I was
holding off.
I mean,
for obvious reasons,
it's
I'm
ridiculous.
Not impartial.
But I think that, you know,
it's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Maybe you can get away with that in soccer because
I think
you can go out and play. But
yeah.
Football, there's so much internal knowledge that you take with you.
It's not like the soccer players aren't memorizing playbooks and proprietary information that you have in football. Plus, there are so fewer games.
Yeah.
And the risk of injury is so much greater. I don't think it would really work in football.
Yeah.
Now, the only way it could is like the UFL, if you did a deal with a different league.
A minor league could potentially work, but that would be.
Oh, we want Ryan Mallett to be good someday, so let's send him to Rex Ryan to learn.
Yeah.
Like, what?
But anyway.
And the ultimate tampering.
Right.
Like, what if they just decide, well, we'll send you back, but then when your contract's up, you're going to come to us? And
right.
How does that, I mean.
And this happens with like the
like
Premier Leagues
for players.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It happens over there.
Darius Butler comes back from Houston with complete and total knowledge of the Texans.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, it wouldn't work in this game.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Matt from Oregon's on the line. Hey, Matt.
Hey, is that ass-ass Scalavino going to be there?
Unfortunately.
I'm just kidding, Eric. I
that's all right. That's all right. How's I think we actually have that soundbite, don't we?
Is that ass-hat Scalavino going to be there?
Bingo.
You need to get, Kevin, you need to get the drop of Mary, Hot Mary, saying Scalavino, that should be fun. Because that was the best quote of the show.
Yeah, don't.
So.
Kenny, Scalavino, any chance you can gut this horn minus the surplus groping?
No! No,
hey, I wanted two quick things. First of all, and kind of bad timing, I guess, on my part, because Kevin just came through with some good drops, but I got to call Kevin out. He's been lacking on the drops lately.
Wow.
He wasn't paying attention.
Yeah,
he's under a lot of stress.
You guys... You know, you guys have your work cut out for you with having very little to talk about, and having good drops to kind of keep things funny and keep it going would be really helpful.
Yeah, Scalavino uses his position to get his kicks picking on women.
There you go. Very well done, Kevin. Nice job.
Yeah, but that'll be it. He'll take the rest of the show off.
So what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Literally.
Not much, just finishing up school and stuff. I wanted to chime in on the hitting, the illegal hits and the unnecessary roughness and all that stuff.
Right. The Steelers rule.
I want to preface this by saying that I completely agree with you guys that it should just be unnecessary roughness. You know it when you see it, and that would take care of so much of this, wordiness of the whole thing.
Yep.
And they're trying to eliminate gray area, but they're putting more gray area in.
Right. Yep.
But the trouble with it is, where the line is drawn of what's necessary and what's unnecessary, and then, you get into, a big game and there's a crucial time when a ref decides that it's a unnecessary roughness and everybody else thinks it's not unnecessary roughness, and, then it becomes a major issue. And the analogy is, if you look at, MMA, where, it's up to the referee to stop a fight when a guy's down and he's getting, he can't intelligently defend himself anymore is the wording. But a lot of times you'll see that some guys go longer than others, and if it's a big fight, maybe they let it go a little bit longer than it would have if it was a less well-known fighter, and there's a lot of gray area there. So there's a major downside to it there.
Yeah, but there's always going to be gray. I mean, they have other rules, like we talked about holding, pass interference, where they have to make a decision, a judgment call in a big game on that deep pass. Am I going to change a game here with a 45-yard penalty?
A big game or even at the end of games when there's a drive.
So you're never going to eliminate that from the games, and that's why these officials make a lot of money. They train very hard, and they prepare themselves, and they're a part of the game, and they always will be.
True. Well, and like I said, they're trying to eliminate gray area, and they're really just creating more.
Right. Yeah, that's the worst part.
That's exactly how I feel.
And I think it makes it harder on the officials because they have to think, well, does this fall under defenseless receiver, and did he have a chance to do? It's like they have all these words in their head rather than just thinking, watch the play and decide what happened.
React to it.
You talk to referees, and they always say, in all sports, call what you see. And I think the NFL makes it harder and harder to call what you see because you have to think about am I seeing the right hitting zone? Yeah. Am I seeing the proper time go by before I allow a guy to hit? There's so many things to factor in. You can't just use your eyes anymore.
And in other sports, maybe it would be a little different in the postseason. I mean, we see it in hockey. We see it in basketball where the officiating changes. It alters.
Yeah.
They know the difference. Or some leagues, maybe they're mandated.
Really.
Right. And so I don't think it would be a huge issue to just ask them, call unnecessary roughness. Just call it.
Yeah, and it can encompass so much of what they're trying to, detail out the minutiae of everything. It could all just fall under that flag.
Simplifies it in my mind.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Yeah.
All right,
Matt.
Listen, you guys, am I still on?
Yeah.
You are. Yeah.
I just want to let you know you guys have been on fire lately. Even with having less to talk about and having the lockout and everything, you guys have been bringing it every week.
I think it gives us more to talk about, actually.
It
opens us up to more topics, a broader range of things
we can
talk about.
We're not restricted by football.
Exactly.
Sure.
All right, thanks, Matt.
All right, Matt. Matt in Oregon, big MMA guy.
He is. Don't mess with him.
No. Nope.
There was a big fight the other night.
That's
Who won?
A big dude, too.
Big fight? I don't
know. An MMA fight?
There was a big one the other night. Rampage versus somebody?
Rampage Jackson?
But it was interesting. I was just actually reading a feature.
Wasn't he in the A-team?
Yes. In ESPN, the magazine, about one of their fighters,
what you're talking about.
Saying that he's physically lost the capability to tap out. because of so much training and pushing his body so much to you can't give up mentally and physically. It's like the ult for them.
Right.
And he's lost the ability. And one of the fights he was in, he was just hoping the ref would end it.
Wow.
Stop the fight. And he's just getting, and I forgot what he said, but he could have saved me from 8 or 10 punches I took that I was not capable of taking. I couldn't defend myself anymore.
Oh, man.
But I can't physically tap out.
Wow.
That's crazy.
And that's what he's talking about there is there's a lot of pressure on those guys because they feel the pressure of it's a huge pay-per-view, it's a big fight, it's, you know, you don't want to be the guy who ends it too early, but you also have a guy's life in your hands. I mean,
sure.
Three punches too many could be death.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I've heard some of the guys in that industry say that it's not as bad as boxing as far as the physical toll it takes on you. I don't see how that's possible.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're being hit without padded gloves. They're being kicked with the bones of their shin.
And they're trapped. In boxing, you can move around the ring.
You can move.
If a guy's on top of you with a knee on each side of you,
you can't move.
And just pounding on you and pushing your hands out of the way, pounding again.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like in boxing, sometimes there's more of a range where, you know, the punch is coming from a further range, so there's more momentum behind it. A lot of in MMA is short, quick punches. Maybe that was what they're talking about.
And you're
about.
Not
I don't
stepping
know.
Into it. I mean, a good right hand in boxing, there's a lot of force behind it. There's more than the guy who's just throwing it with, you said, less range of motion.
Maybe.
And,
but there are fewer of those punches that land
they're
than
both
there
pretty
are
bad.
Of
but
those
like
MMA punches.
An elbow in the temple, forget it. You know?
You could,
or knee.
I think you
or
could kill somebody in an MMA ring.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
you
could obviously you could in boxing too, but
if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him in the shit he hit. Okay, and he just swore.
But I think the likelihood is greater in that type of environment, in the MMA environment, than there is. I mean, you don't see as many of the Dooku Kims and the those type of unfortunate situations in the boxing ring. Maybe we haven't seen one yet in MMA, but
the longer MMA
is around,
you're going to see something will happen.
And they've reined in their rules. They're not the renegades they were a decade ago.
It's not,
they have a lot more rules about elbows and knees.
Well,
and
in order to get licensed,
I think they
have more states they had to.
Earlier on, it was more of a free-for-all.
Yeah. That's when I would have gotten in it. I don't want to. I'm not interested anymore. Too tame.
Do they have an over 50 MMA that you could join?
They do, but I would go for that.
He would dominate.
Fred wants to use it to fight crime, remember?
Weren't you really going to start?
That's true.
You
do want to fight crime still, right?
What's his name? Lennon Walpole has invited me up to his place.
Yeah.
It's an Israeli form of MMA.
You want to come over and do a little MMA?
You want to start out on your knees, or should I?
A lot of elbows and knees, he says, is how they do it. So, trying to find the time. Plus, I'm getting my crime-fighting costume together.
What's it going to look
it's
like?
It's not just your L.A. jersey.
Your crime-fighting costume.
I think the basis of it will be my Emerson College wrestling singlet.
Do you still have it, really?
Well, I do.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
Will there be a
cape?
Have
you put it on?
No. I couldn't get it over one leg.
It'd be like
it'd be like
one of those
bathroom and goes, Nikki, I'm going to put something special on.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Talk about killing the moment.
At this point, it'd be like one of those medical sleeves that the players wear for injuries.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe you have it.
Now, is there going to be a cape? Is there going to be a cape involved in your costume?
I don't know. I forget.
Mask?
I don't know what exactly.
Cape? Mask?
I'm not sure about the cape. I find that a little bit over the top. Definitely a mask.
Plus, you can get it. You
got to hide my identity.
And you don't fly, so you don't really need a cape.
Right.
Are you going to have a vehicle, a signature vehicle?
A black Cadillac.
Yeah, there you go. I got one.
We already know what that looks like.
I'm over here.
I pull up, this fat crime fighter comes out of his black Cadillac, cigar in his mouth.
Right? Your fedora.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, we've lost it.
All right. Scott writes in, it's Scott from Cambridge, England. Just want to say thanks for keeping us updated on the lockout. As we don't hear much over here, love your stuff. Was listening to your show on Tuesday and realized how clueless you are on our customs.
Yep.
So here is a few you were unsure about. One, you are legally allowed to drink in pubs at the age of 18.
Okay.
Two, you can drive at 17.
Oh.
Three, our schools are based on two kinds, primary and secondary. Primary are years 1 through 6,
right.
3 to 11-year-olds. And secondary years are 7 to 11, 11 to 16-year-olds.
Wait. One starts 3-year-olds or in first grade?
First grade, 3-year-old. It says 3 to 11-year-olds.
Holy crap. That's early.
And then grade 7 to 11 are 11 to 16. And then lastly, bricking it means crapping yourself.
Oh.
Hope that helps. My question for you is, as you've been doing...
A lot of first graders must do that.
Okay. As you've been going on about Ben Jarvis, who I think came in and did a job for us last year, and Randy Moss, who I agree, is a has-been. Now, who would you get to replace them? Money is not a problem, and it can be anyone in the NFL. Thanks for your time, and keep doing what you're doing.
Ben
so
Jarvis.
Who do you replace Ben Jarvis with, and who do you replace Randy Moss with?
Adrian Peterson.
Well, Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, for anybody? Yeah. I mean, you just
yeah, Larry Fitzgerald, really, Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there are other choices. You could take Chris Johnson. You
what
could
about
take...
guys who are available? Money is no object.
Is Larry Fitzgerald available?
Mm.
I guess
Jeff
say,
Howell wrote on Nesson that he was available at the right price.
Technically not.
No.
Yeah. So,
maybe like a Sidney Rice.
So Sidney Rice, okay.
Or a Vincent Jackson.
Ooh. Yeah.
And
he's
then
scared.
Running backs.
I think we go
D'Angelo
with
Williams.
I would take him.
Yeah.
I'd be scared.
I would be scared too.
Boy, I'd be scared if I signed. If I went into an offseason and said, "Okay, I'm going to sign D'Angelo Williams Sidney Rice,"
but we don't worry about the money.
No, I'm not worried.
Money's no object. You don't
so if they
about it.
Get hurt and don't play, I don't really care because I didn't pay him.
Yeah, I'm just saying he's a guy who's available.
D'Angelo Williams has always intrigued me. Yes, yes.
Okay, there's your answer.
And he's kind of the opposite of Ben Jarvis. Like, he's flashy, big play potential, could get hurt, could fumble.
Kevin's making the move.
All right,
lunch is coming. I was growing weaker.
I'm over here.
I needed to bring some information to the table. Apparently, I missed the show a week ago, Thursday, I guess. And you guys got an email about TMI and South Park.
Yes.
Too much information. Right.
No.
The TMI index.
It's a TMI index,
yes.
Which is an adjusted formula for penis size.
Right. Yeah.
And it deals with girth and angle and all this. Very funny episode if you get a chance to watch it.
I knew it had to be more.
When you
than
see Eric Cartman bringing all the boys into the boys' room in elementary school to measure their schlongs with a little tape measure, very funny.
Let's see. Larry in Miami is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing good.
Hey, Larry.
What's your TMI, your adjusted penis size?
I wouldn't think you would
ask something
like that. I thought you was a boob guy.
Oh, good, am. Larry. Good.
He's been in the closet for a while. We're waiting for him to come on out.
Yeah. Eric's been in there with me. That's how he knows I'm in there.
But I was just calling, to tell you how great you guys are.
Are you calling from the closet? I got quite an echo coming in.
There is quite an echo going over there.
Oh, yeah. I'm at a hospital. I have to be in a stairway.
Oh.
Right now.
Okay. You work in a hospital?
Yeah, the hospital. You work right next to the hospital.
I hope it wasn't like he was a patient and he was sneaking out of the nurses to go make a phone call for this radio show.
I have one last request.
No, but I was just calling about, talking about those illegal hits now. And I was wondering, they took the crack back away, so that's going to affect the, because I know they've been trying to emphasize that with the defense, so that's going to affect the offense also, right?
It potentially would give them an advantage, yeah. If they don't have to worry about crackback blocks.
Yeah.
Well, on some plays, like some running plays, receivers out tend to go inside and, block a linebacker or something like a crack block.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Wait, they've taken that away? Am I out of the loop here?
No, again, there's so many there's so much fine print to these.
I thought they did that last year.
No, they took away the low, but you could still come in high.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, and that's all, it's crazy. I don't know what they took away from special teams. I know that.
Yeah, they did a lot now, with the wedge. And
hopefully we'll get a chance to get one of the referee crews to come to training camp if there is one, and we'll be able to sort of go over this with them and find out specifically what will
you
be allowed.
You really no longer have
to
have your head on a swivel, though. So all those peewee coaches and high school coaches.
So that means that a defensive player could be a defensive player protect himself from the crackback now.
Sure.
So
yeah.
They don't have to call
if
both sides.
If he doesn't have an opportunity to defend himself, he's a defenseless player as much as a receiver is. He could get just as hurt from a crackback block or a blindside block, no question about it. And that's what a lot of these guys argue for, the Ray Lewis's that, we can be defenseless. If you're going to protect everybody, you got to protect us too. But most of them feel it's a physical game. Don't protect either of us. At some point, you know the risk when you take the field. There's a reason why you have to spend 15 minutes putting on various pads and a helmet. It's a dangerous game.
Yeah. Well, that was all. I was just wanted to talk to you. And one more thing, I would love to hear the dropper with Fred, you know, because it's not against the rules. It doesn't mean it's illegal. That's
all right, Larry. Thanks for calling. See you later.
Fred, trying to rush our callers off the phone.
You missed it. Ray Lewis didn't say that. He said, and I was defenseless.
but you know, here's
in the middle of the field.
I hear what Ray is saying, but when there is a difference about being defenseless when you're focused on the ball for that split second and you can pay no attention to anything else when you're trying to catch it, then you know, a defenseless guy on defense. It's never the same kind of
guys on defense get their absolute blocks knocked off by blindside blocks, crackback blocks.
Sure, but
all the time they're focused on the ball. It's just the ball carrier.
No, but
same exact thing. Their job is on the line.
But it's not the
yes,
same.
Yes, it is. It's the exact same thing. But he doesn't happen to be a money making wide receiver. He's just some schlub linebacker. It's okay to end his career. That's ridiculous.
He's getting mad again.
I am, because that's what Ray Lewis is talking about. Sorry. They are at times defenseless, and they deserve the protection too.
I don't like the term defenseless, but it's not exactly the same.
Same.
A lot of times,
I think they too often term a receiver defenseless. There are times when, you know, the guy's hands are above his head, the ball might go off.
He's
his
in
hands
a vulnerable position.
He's in
sometimes
a vulnerable spot.
Right.
You should never be termed defenseless if you're on the field. Now, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Andy. There's plenty of that. Warren Sapp, Chad Clifton thing that we talked about, to me, Chad Clifton was defenseless. If you want to use these terms that they use now, Chad Clifton was every bit as defenseless on that play as Wes Welker was when Ryan Clark killed him against Pittsburgh. So I don't really – I do see some hypocrisy there. You know, it's this one guy we seem to want to protect and the other – you know, the one guy on receiver and the one guy at quarterback, and the other 20 are out there to fend for themselves.
We want to protect the guys that are on the camera because they make us the money.
When you're a receiver, there are times where you have to adjust your body in a way that does leave you completely vulnerable to someone who wants to line you up.
Yes, but if you're lined up legally, that should be okay.
Right.
That's part of the ability of a receiver is to shut that out and to say, I know I'm going to take a hit here. I have to catch the ball anyway.
Mm-hmm. Just like a quarterback has to know when he's throwing the ball.
Exactly.
That he has to stand in there and he's probably going to get hit.
One of Brady's biggest strengths is his ability to stand in there knowing he's going to get walloped, but still throw the ball where he needs to.
And that's psychological. You have to overcome that psychologically.
That's part of the talent
right.
to me. And I think that they're trying to make it easier for some of those players. But again, Andy's right. They're not trying to make it easier for everyone. They're trying to make it easier for some of them. And I think there's some hypocrisy there. Don't you think?
I do, you know, but I still say that there's a different type of vulnerability when you're trying to catch a ball than when you're playing middle linebacker. Hmm. You know, even with the Chad Clifton thing, I think it was an absolutely cheap shot, but you can make the case that Chad Clifton didn't have to be vulnerable. He could have been looking around instead of just sauntering down the field.
I can make the case the receiver doesn't have to be vulnerable.
No.
He can choose not to catch the ball.
Well, then he's
that's
not
part
doing
of
his job,
the
Andy.
Wait a minute. Nor is...
If he chooses not to catch
if
the ball,
if Ray Lewis
he's
is
not
focused on the running back in the backfield, he's not doing his job.
And he's not vulnerable when he's doing that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You haven't played the game then because you've never had your...
Oh, okay.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. You've never had your head taken off. That's clear.
Everybody's had an ear hole
reverses
shot.
You haven't if you don't think that person
you're
is vulnerable.
You're not up in the air completely vulnerable.
So now you have to be in the air to be vulnerable?
You
that's
know
stupid.
What I'm talking about.
That's ridiculous.
You know what I'm talking
no,
about.
No, I don't actually.
You're being stubborn.
I think on those change of direction plays and on the crackback plays, the defensive player is every bit as vulnerable and susceptible to injury as a receiver.
You cannot have your head on a swivel when you're focused on the ball.
And you can't have your head on a swivel when you're focused
yes,
on the...
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can. Every once in a while, you're going to get ear-holed. Everybody does, but you can't...
And it's okay. It's part of the game when the linebacker gets ear-holed. Not part of the game
but
when the receiver gets ear-holed.
You can have your head on a swivel.
We got to protect him.
You can have your head on a swivel.
This is ridiculous. This is the type of hypocrisy and the thought process
I got to agree with Andy.
I mean, even the kicker agrees to
on this particular argument, I don't think there's even a way to look at it differently. I mean... To me, it's all about the nature of the hit. If the hit is legal, there should be no discussion about this. there's plenty of guys that get hit when they're not expecting it, or their body is in a position where they're more vulnerable than they would be if they were ready for a hit. But the only time it counts is for a receiver over the middle.
Right.
There's hypocrisy in that.
It's a different type of vulnerability.
It's not.
When you're laid out for a ball.
It's absolutely not a different type of vulnerability.
Okay. Well, I think it is. No, I do.
If a guy's running down the field and he's focused on the ball, he's in the slot. Austin Collie last year, not against Philadelphia.
He's not braced.
Right?
You know.
He's not braced for a hit.
Right.
He's running down the field. He's focusing on the ball. And all of a sudden, here comes the hit from the safety from the Eagles.
Yeah.
That controversial helmet hit.
Yep.
He's vulnerable to a hit that he's not expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Jermaine Cunningham is chasing down the ball one way, and all of a sudden a reverse comes, and he turns and bang, he gets buried by some trap block coming from
the
outside.
It's the same thing.
Legal hit. His head was focused somewhere else.
I just think it's a different type of vulnerability.
They're both on the ground. They're both running with their heads in a different direction from when the hit's coming from. Focused on the ball. The receiver's small, the linebacker's big. That's the
but
difference.
But you're also taught to, you know, look to scrape off your blockers, look to fight off your block. You know, you're looking for
so
where
you're
the
you're taught to look behind you when in fact the ball's in front of you.
If it's behind, if you get hit from behind, it's a penalty. But
no, the guy who's going to hit you is from behind.
But
when the play changes direction, he's therefore in front of you. You didn't see
but you're also taught to fight off blocks, you know, and all that
stuff.
There
is no block.
What are you talking about? Don't muddy the water here.
He's chasing the ball one way, and all of a sudden it comes back the other way. He turns and gets buried.
I think it's a different type of vulnerability. I think, obviously, I've been ear-holed. I know what that's like. You don't even know that it's coming until it happens.
Right.
And then wham. You know, but it's not the same as a receiver laid out.
You're right. I actually think it's worse because the receiver should expect to get hit when he goes up for the ball, whereas the other hits are infrequent. Well, you can't expect them on every play. If you expect them on every play, you'll find yourself on the bench. Because if you're anticipating that, then you're not chasing the ball carrier with your full attention.
You're not expecting it if the ball's already 10 yards behind you.
Now we're back to just flat out unnecessary roughness, late hit, and spearing.
It's not a late hit,
because he was defending.
We're talking about them taking away the ability to actually hit a guy when the ball is there.
They are not going to call, unless it's a helmet to helmet, they are not going to call that if the ball's there.
You didn't watch the NFL the last couple of years then.
If the ball's,
there's been a million of those.
If the ball's there and they hit him cleanly, they're not going to call unnecessary roughness.
I can give you a cut up if you want.
Then that was a bad call, Paul.
But the NFL says it's not a bad call because they're now finding these guys for these hits that they're getting penalties for.
Not if the ball's there. Not if the ball's there.
Austin Collie hit was a prime example. It wasn't an illegal hit.
You have to give the defender a chance to break up the play.
And they don't.
This is what we're saying. Well,
this is the part that we're saying hypocritical.
Then I would imagine that the league is talking to these refs and saying that's a bad call. You got to give, you know.
Then why are they finding the guy?
Then you can't break up a play anymore? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying if you hit a guy when he's not thinking it's going to be coming on a receiver over the middle, more often than not, as I said 2 weeks ago, more often than not, that's going to draw a flag.
But as you
it
guys,
could be a legal hit.
You guys just said a receiver knows it's coming if the ball's there. He knows it's coming.
Right.
That's not when he doesn't think it's coming.
And you don't see penalties coming on those?
Then they're bad calls.
But
the league is not saying
they're bad calls. The league is coupling the penalty with a fine.
I think you guys.
This is why the players are complaining about it.
I think they complain about a lot of things. But I think you're taking it to the extreme here. And you might be right. I'm sure there were a lot of bad calls last year, but that's not the intention of the league to say you can't make the jarring hit to break up a play.
Way the league is writing it, they're not bad calls. It's the way the league wants it officiated. This is the difference of opinion here is a bad. You're saying it's a rogue bad play, bad call by the official. It's not.
I do.
They're taking those plays, and then not only they're getting penalties in the game, they're getting fined for them.
Not if it's a clean hit, Paul.
The James Harrison hit on Massaquoi was not an illegal hit.
No, he hit him high.
It was not an illegal hit. He got penalized and fined heavily.
You don't think he hit him high with his forearm?
The hit that Dante Robinson had in the Eagles. There's three right off the top of my head I can think of. That was not an illegal hit. It was a hard hit.
Well, you know, like I said, those are bad calls, but I think the spirit of the rule is not to stop having guys make big hits to break up plays.
But you're thinking of all of these hits in terms of, like, the Merriweather hit on Todd Heap. 1 week later, Merriweather made the same hit in San Diego that was well within the rules, and he didn't get penalized for it. But I've seen Merriweather, I've seen players get fined for what Merriweather did in San Diego a lot.
Wait a minute, Paul. You didn't think that the James Harrison hit to Massaquoi was a bad play?
I didn't think it was an illegal hit, no.
I can't see a player going specifically for another player's head with the intent. And you know Harrison's intent was to knock that guy out, or worse.
Now we're determining what the guy wanted to do.
No, because that's what he has said that he intends to do. He likes to go out there and hurt people. So if he's being irresponsible like that,
you think he hit him in the head?
Yes.
I don't.
Oh, he did, Paul, with his forearm. He went like this and hit him in the head.
Yeah, the guy got dazed and he got taken out of the game.
I don't think the first contact was to the head.
It was a cheap shot.
I don't think it was. And I certainly don't think that Dante Robinson one, the one that happened on the very same day, wasn't even close
his
to the
wasn't.
Head. It was a shoulder-to-shoulder hit that was too hard. I'm not one of these macho guys like, you got to play football the way they played in the 70s.
No, I know you're not.
I'm not like that.
Yeah. I just think
agree that they're making it tougher on the refs. There's no doubt about that.
They're making the players.
Yeah, they're making it tougher on the refs.
I know sometimes it's unavoidable the way your bodies collide. You might hit a guy's head accidentally, but in too many cases, these players are intentionally going for another player's head, and to me, that's wrong.
I just don't know how that's bad what the football. Guy's trying to do.
You can tell when a guy...
I can't.
You can never tell that a guy is intentionally... Brandon Merriweather wasn't intentionally going for Todd Heap's head.
No,
you're telling me that?
I think his idea on the play was to break up the play. He led with his head, but I don't think that he goes up there and saying, I want to try to knock him out right now.
I think there are players who do try to knock other players out.
Okay. I don't know what going through a guy's mind before a play. Pretty sure the referee doesn't either.
And you're right, Paul. Maybe he wasn't, but he was using poor technique that leads to... possible injury, and I think that's what they're trying to keep these guys from, is using that poor technique.
A guy like Harrison, who's so brazen about the way he plays, I have no doubt that his intention, more often than not, is to hurt another player, to inflict harm on another player. Well, that is wrong.
He's not the only one.
Well, he's not the only one.
I don't
either.
Agree with that, because there's a difference between trying to hurt a guy in terms of football. You want him to remember that you hit him. You want there to be a thought in his mind. I don't think he's trying to paralyze people. I don't think he's trying to make people miss the next week's game. He's trying to make them, sure, maybe miss the next play or question what they want to do on a football field when they see him in the picture.
And I don't believe that
people are trying to hurt other people.
You can do that you can deliver a hard, impactful hit with proper technique. There's not a lot of proper technique being exercised in this
league. But now you're just talking in generalities. You're lumping him in with other people. I think that play was questionable. I think you could legitimately question.
Sure, they're all questionable.
Well, see, I don't think the Dante Robinson one was at all.
Well,
I think that one
was ridiculous. But obviously
they
did, because they fined him for
it. But that was ridiculous. To me, there is no argument that that play was dirty, finable, or anything else. To me, there's no argument that the Brandon Merriweather one was clean. I thought those two were on the end of the spectrum. I thought the Harrison one that was in the center, where if you're going overboard and you're being real sensitive,
right. Okay,
that gets lumped in.
And I think
but
a
in
lot
real
of it
football,
was
his history.
Yeah.
If we're going to just play football, I think we're fine. I think that's a fine hit. And I think that one
can
go either way.
It's two guys that are coming at each other, and they're changing their planes. They're hitting.
Right.
It's hard to adjust.
It is.
It is. But
don't you think this is strictly an opinion, Fred, so you can please weigh in with a yes or no
here. I don't know.
Don't give me an I don't know. But aren't you...
That's an opinion.
And now my answer is yes. I have come to
the
point now...
The question.
I've come to the point now where any incomplete pass where there's contact involved with a defensive player on the receiver, the intended receiver, I automatically assume a penalty is coming. And I am generally surprised
when it's
either not pass interference, or if it's a big hit, if it's not a penalty. That's how I've come to watch the NFL the last 5 years.
Which is a lot like the way I watch the NBA. I always assume there's going to be a foul on every play.
Absolutely.
Every time a guy drives to the basket.
Anytime a guy drives and doesn't make the basket, I assume the whistle's coming.
And that's no way to watch a game.
No, it's not fun.
It's not fun at all.
It's like special teams.
Yeah, you're always expecting a flag on special teams.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with
that.
Do you think that, Paul?
I think more and more you're holding your breath on every play. Yeah.
And that's not fun. That's not fun at all.
Yep.
That's taking
The only time an incomplete pass, I just say, well, it's like a throwaway. Right. And even then, you never know. It might have been holding somewhere.
Right,
on the play.
Right. Or a late hit. A guy got within three feet of the quarterback after the hit. Because that's the other issue that we've talked about in this same area is you can't hit a quarterback anywhere. We've seen that more often than not here in New England. You hit him in the thigh, and they're going to say you hit him in the knee. If you hit him in the chest, they're going to say you hit him in the head. You just can't hit a quarterback. And I don't think that's fair either. Now, I know we're trying to protect them, and they're standing still, and there's a lot there, but the defenders have to have something they can do. Most of the rules in this game try to make them look bad, either by penalty or by giving up points. I don't like that.
Okay. James in Brisbane says, quick question for you. How do you see the following players progressing in 2011, assuming there is a season, compared to their performance in 2010? Which one will make the biggest burst? Rich Ohnberger, Fabio, other words, Julian Edelman, Taylor Price, Darius Butler, Eric Moore, Brandon Diedrich, or Jarrad Page?
Price.
So of those people, who will make the biggest leap?
Price.
Well, Price, only because he didn't play at all, except for the one game.
47 catches and 5 touchdowns.
But I think Edelman has a chance.
I agree with you.
I don't.
I think he's got a swagger going
only
now.
Only if Welker and Branch get hurt.
Yeah. Well,
Welker. Welker would have to
I think
get
there's
hurt.
Too many people ahead of him in the role.
I think Edelman's going to be our form of who's the guy in the Redskins that kind of does a lot of stuff? Cooley? What's his name?
He's a tight end, though.
Cooley.
Yeah, no,
Cooley?
I know it's a different position, but he's like a jack of all trades.
Chris Cooley.
I think Edelman is going to do a lot for this team, and I think he's really going to come into his own this year. He's not going to lead the league in receptions or any, but he's going to do a lot of different things.
He's going to do more than he did last year.
Yeah.
Couldn't disagree anymore.
Okay.
I think he's proven himself. You need your mic on.
Sorry. I think that could happen only if Welker gets hurt.
I think he's proven, and he's talked about it pretty honestly. He's not capable of being a spot guy that comes in I think he actually said in the fourth quarter, make one key catch. He needs to get a feel for the game. The times when he's replaced Welker are the times that he's had good games. He's caught double digit receptions, gotten into the flow, felt good.
I think we're going to see more of that though, is what I'm saying.
I think
we're going to see more of Edelman as a receiver, more of him as a punt returner.
Well, punt returner, he's fine.
I'm including that.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
But he was really good at it last year.
I think he's going to get better. I mean, he only did it like the last handful of games when he was unbelievable.
Right. But that's my point. He was good at it last year.
But if he does
right
it for
down
a whole
to where
season,
I said,
he does it for a whole
Julian
season.
Julian Edelman's got a knack for being special. I bet you he gets one here, and he does. I mean, I've already decided.
Well, but if he does that for a whole season, he could wind up in Hawaii.
I don't think he'll be that good. But I mean, to me, he's already proven himself a more than capable punt returner.
I agree.
That's where I was.
No, I'm including that in terms of his contributions.
But as a receiver, I think he can't.
I think they're going to try.
I don't see him catching more than 30 or 40 passes without Welker being there.
I think they're going to try to design some plays.
At 40.
I think they're going to try to design some plays to get him in space,
and he'll drop it. That's what he's proven.
Well,
when
if he does,
no,
then
I think
he probably.
I think he's not going to drop them this time. That's the thing. I think he's going to make that jump.
Maybe.
Let's explore this for a second. You have Branch, you have Welker, you have Gronkowski, Hernandez, you have Danny Woodhead, you have two rookie running backs as well. Where is he going to get these opportunities to get special plays that get Julian Edelman in space?
As we've seen, you know, they work in all the guys. And
right.
I'm
not saying that he will never be on the field. I'm saying 20 catches, 30 catches?
Sure. I mean,
we're on the radio, Fred. We don't know what you're pointing at.
The still shots of the Patriots practice.
Wilfork looking a little shredded. That tricep looking good as he's
shredded.
Flexing.
Yeah, as he's like this.
Now,
I was flexing my arm.
Who's that guy?
Brady might have cut his hair a little bit.
The reports on Twitter said that was extra long, according to the.
Oh, really?
From 700 feet.
Nattering nabobs of negativity.
In between the rose bushes.
Is that hair long? Or?
Are you sure they weren't in there? Because they all have like these. They all talked to everybody and said there was 47. I mean, they had like some specific stuff.
Are there cool?
They were 47 taking attendance from the tunnel.
Chalice.
No, they could see it from a distance. They could see. It's just that the photos weren't clear, but they could see who was there. There's no doubt about it.
Mike
and
Reese. Today
they couldn't have been that far
today
away.
Today they
knew who everybody was.
Attendance in the parking lot. They couldn't get to the stadium, but as people drove in, they were writing them down. That's what they were doing today.
So our friend Chris Price tweets, Hoyer stopped to talk to us, got 10 seconds in. Brady strolls by and says, come on, Hoyer, no interviews. Hoyer, sorry, bye, guys, done.
Why? Why no interviews?
Do you hate the quarterback?
Deal? What?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, what's the harm?
I don't know.
Ninkovich also said that they
the
asked
Patriot
him about,
way,
about Brady organizing the whole thing, and Ninkovich said, well, I heard from Mayo. So I wonder, you know,
You don't know from Mayo.
Ian.
Mayo might be getting in touch with the defensive guys.
That's what Ian, Ian suggested, but.
Reese tweeted he saw Mallett throw a 65-yard bomb to Slater.
Oh, okay.
What?
With anybody covering him?
Did he say he caught it?
Yeah.
No, just Mallett throwing.
That's wow.
And connecting. Let's see. Paul writes in, as you recall, he was making that trip over Europe and was very concerned. Wanted us to
be
yes,
funny.
Oh, yes,
that's right, yeah.
He says, dear comforters of PFW, I made it to the sunny shores of Ibiza.
Good.
Thanks to the soothing tones of PFW. Aside from fear of lightning hitting the plane, it went smoothly, aided by the two large whiskeys in flight. I told the kind lady at the side of me, who no doubt thought I was Irish, that I don't normally drink at 8 a.m. to get drunk, but was for merely medicinal purposes. Anyway, I can't listen for 2 weeks. I want really boring shows for those weeks. I read on the Twitter about the large Patriots workout, so maybe 2 hours of bickering about if this means Brady is back to his most committed days during the offseason, or an hour talking about Kevin's golf fundraiser. So he wants us to be boring while he can't listen.
So, Eric, why don't you take over the show?
There's always, you know, on demand. You can
it's
listen
very Paul-like,
after the fact.
That was good use of that.
Yeah. I mean, we're not really buying a lot into this whole Brady thing, are we? I mean, he's in town for his charity.
Right.
It is what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, and the charity, functions are over on Saturday. So
Friday and Saturday.
The so best Sunday. Buddies.
Now, if he spends like the next 6 weeks here and does this three times
story.
A week, okay.
I'll change my opinion.
Right.
If he gets on a plane Sunday to go to Costa Rica, he's the same Brady he's always been.
Yeah, now, if they have a couple more workouts next week and then he goes back, that won't change any.
Which
opinion.
He did last year, I believe, right? Didn't he stay for like an extra week or something? And
he
then
was
he went...
here for all the camps last year.
Oh, yeah. He never misses what he has to, but he doesn't go above and beyond to prove that he's
missed. Exactly. And those things aren't necessarily has to, but he's here for those
OTAs, but they're looked upon internally as have to. Voluntary is in quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not any different.
But
than
that's
the rest
not
of
any
the
different.
Program.
No. Or
and
for any other team.
And he blows that off.
Or for any other team.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's here for the OTAs that he doesn't necessarily have to be here for, but he's not here for the rest of the offseason program that he's not necessarily have to be here for.
Mm-hmm.
Doc's here, and it's Doc's last day in the studio, right, Doc?
He's having problems.
Last day in the office.
Last day in the office. You're not coming in tomorrow. This is it.
I'll be here Saturday.
This is it? You'll be here for the soccer?
Revs game?
U.S. versus
Spain. U.S. Even, game, that's right. They're putting the grass out there.
Even when they go out.
It's grass on the field.
They have to.
I'd like to.
They have to complain.
I'm talking about soccer. It's a ball.
Well, he'll be here Saturday.
Right. So 60,000 for Saturday, I hear.
Yeah.
It's real soccer.
Traffic.
Right.
Oh, but
like a football game.
Those Spanish ladies, they don't wear a lot. They look hot.
Okay. Going to be hot. I was going to be like 70s.
So, Doc, what do you think? You're moving out to Colorado. And you don't have a job yet.
I don't.
But that's all right. Your wife will support you.
Bill in Beaver Creek, where are you?
You know,
Beaver Creek.
You should start your own. Why don't you start your own online radio show?
I'm no brain surgeon. I would start in Beaver Creek.
Beaver Stadium.
A la Pete Shepard.
Yeah.
Beaver Stadium.
Well, how about this, though?
Don't burn bridges.
When you go out there.
I haven't heard
there,
much from Pete.
Are you going to remain a Patriots fan or are you going to become a Broncos fan?
Stay a Patriots
fan. Are you?
Oh, you're going to become
just like you stayed a Broncos fan.
So am I going to hold you to that?
Sure.
Okay. What if you get a job with the
Broncos? So I want you spreading the gospel
if they're signing my paycheck, then that obviously changes things.
But why?
I've been here for 7 years. I went to 2 Super Bowls here. I've had a lot of fun, learned a lot. So I would be a Patriots fan through and through.
I want you spreading the gospel of the show, right? You're still going to listen. You're going to call
in.
You're going to
email. I'll call in.
What's your screen name going to be? Is it going to be just Doc or...
Yeah.
Okay. So when I see Doc, I'll know it's you.
How about Diphead?
Doc from Denver.
It'll be because Doc and Beaver.
Because I've been getting a lot of calls from my doctor these days, so I want to make sure.
Don't call
that,
us when you're in Beaver. Yeah, that wouldn't be fair to her. You know.
Wow. Talking about his wife, you know.
No,
I'm
not.
A little uncomfortable.
I'm talking about the town.
Okay. So you said her.
Yeah, the town. You know, you.
So you weren't talking about a town.
No, her. You refer to ships and cars and.
I've never heard a town
mounts.
Referred to as her.
She. Well, you know, a homeland.
Dick Stadium.
America.
Foxborough. She's
like
a great town.
Exactly.
Stop.
That's exactly right.
She's a great old lady.
Right.
Exactly.
I'm not sure I ever heard of a town referred
called
to
her.
With by gender.
When you're in her. That's what you said.
By the looks of Florida, it's a male, right?
Where would her be? Maybe between Alabama and Mississippi. That kind of looks like a symmetrical her. has a really look to a vagina.
I really need the hand gestures. I wish people could have seen that.
So what else, Ty? What, you know, I mean.
That's right. If you live in Mississippi or Alabama. In the Delta. I said you live in a vagina.
All right. Do you miss, are you going to miss
whales?
Us?
Whales? Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
No, you won't. You it's don't have a job. You're going to be drinking and doing whatever you want in a beautiful locale.
I'll wake up at 10 in the morning and I'll turn on Patriots.com and I'll listen to you guys.
You won't.
What else am I going
to
do?
Nor should you.
If you do that for more than a week, I'm going to have your head examined.
Go hiking. Ride bike rides with Eric Flame in the Rocky Mountains like Fred does. Golf.
Ski in the winter.
Yeah. Us teams.
Oh, us teams.
And I'll see Fred and Eric in December.
Maybe.
It's true. When you got your Broncos jersey season. On. Yeah, Broncos.
Yeah, that's right. There's the big Pikes Peak Pats
Tim Tebow shirt on.
Party.
A lot of peas there.
Right? You're going to go to that?
Sure, I'll go to that.
Okay.
It's quite become a bit of alliteration over there.
Pikes or Pikes Peak fans.
What about
you know it's too fitty for a ticket, Rockies. Right?
Yeah. Baseball.
Too fitty.
Would you consider a move to baseball?
I'm actually looking for a nice Monday through Friday kind of 9-to-5 gig.
What skills do you have?
See, you guys all made fun of me.
What skills do you have to bring to the table?
Who I have?
Yes.
Well, is this an interview?
Who am I answering for you specifically or for
general
people who might listen?
What You're skills do you have?
Demo tape.
I have a marketing degree. I've done broadcast, print advertising, radio advertising.
Any of it
digital
well.
Signage. Yeah. I'm still here after 7 years.
So
right?
I know we have listeners in Colorado. So am I. Gunnison, or what's his name? Writes in from Colorado.
The guy who counts
from
trees?
Gunnison. Yeah.
Is he the tree counter?
Dana.
Whoa, he might need help. There's a lot of trees
Dana,
in Colorado.
But I'm just saying, and he might lose count after
right.
a while. You
if
know?
Any of our Colorado listeners have any leads for Doc when he gets out there,
we're going to ask our regular Colorado listeners to step aside right now. Right. Any of you newcomers in the Colorado area who might have a job.
That's in
right.
marketing, advertising.
Mm-hmm. Digital signage.
Tree counting.
Yep.
Dip. Ding.
So, all right, Doc, well, you stay on the show and chime in when you want. We got to get back to some emails here. let's see. Alex from Philly, I first want to say happy belated birthday to Andy.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed it. And though I like Andy's new catchphrase, I don't think I just deal with facts. I'm going to miss his old catchphrase, I like breasts. I'm very passionate about breasts.
That's still one of my catchphrases. I have multiple.
He also has the other one, which was, you think cheating is wrong, I don't.
Right. On a football.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
It's true.
On a football-related note, I read on NFL.com yesterday that Tom Brady was holding informal workouts and that as many as 40 players are participating. My question to you guys is, should I care? I ask this because, in my opinion, I think people are reading way too much into these informal workouts. After all, the players are only doing what they should be doing anyway, staying in shape. Now, if the players get together and played informal games, not only would that be completely awesome, it would be something I would definitely care about. Thanks, guys, and keep the flame burning.
Yeah, it's not that big a deal.
Well, they are doing 7-on-7 drills.
Yeah.
And do you think that there might be some subterfuge going on where there's some plays being sent via carrier pigeon and things to do. And
no, I don't, Fred, on Patriots.com. I would never think that.
Maybe not just this team, but all teams. Do you think that there's some
I think the Jets
lines of communication that are, you know,
I think what do you want us to say to
I
that?
Think they're. I think any team
I suspect
base,
it of all teams.
I think any team has base plays.
Yeah.
And that's all they're doing right now, especially with
what
the young guys.
What are you doing?
I think Solder. Was it Solder that said it was good to hear the plays? Something like that.
I didn't see that.
I forget exactly. It might have been with the Mankins thing from Andrewsi's golf tournament. They talked about it was it was good for him to hear the play, mm-hmm. the terminology.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. That's all I think they're doing with this stuff. So if that's subterfuge, I don't know why we keep getting dial tones.
Because we have a moron behind the glass.
He's not paying attention, though.
No, he's just stupid.
See what happens when you leave behind the glass over there? Dip.
I was actually doing it.
Were you?
You can do it from that computer. Right?
Oh, well, stop it.
Stop doing it.
Get out of here. Go.
You all owe me an apology.
I don't know you.
No, I believe you are stupid.
I owe you nothing. I said nothing. I feel like I have to take back.
I'll get nothing and like it.
I think it's only important, these workouts, only because we heard that all these other teams were doing it. And now, finally, the Patriots are getting around to doing it.
Is it true that the Packers and Steelers haven't done anything?
But if you didn't think it was important, why do you think it's important to do what everybody else does?
Because that's how Eric leads his life.
No, that's inaccurate.
It says a lot about
that's
him.
That's inaccurate. That's inaccurate. No, I think people are interested in it because all these other teams are doing it.
People I'm not get anxious. So yeah, they don't want to get behind.
They don't want to get behind.
No, I'm not arguing that people are interested in it. They certainly are. They have been for a long time. I'm talking about importance of it.
Right.
I didn't think it was important when the Saints were doing it and making a big deal about, you know, how great they were.
You know,
so
like
not
I said,
think it's a big deal now.
I'm not accusing any team of doing it, but I suspect that there is some line of communication. And if they're doing things that the coaches want them to do, maybe there is some value.
And
in
the
it.
Only
but do you think they need to be told? Tom Brady can tell them what they need to be doing.
Exactly.
He has every play in his head.
And it's still, you're not under the coach's watch, so you don't know if it's being done the way
right,
you want
that's
it.
That's true.
You're not filming it, so you're not watching it to see how you're making mistakes
no,
and how you're adjusting to them. It's virtually 100% team camaraderie.
I think there's one other aspect, and it
timing.
Probably timing between the quarterback and his receivers. You're not going to get that if you're not together working on it. And you're going to be way behind if you take any length of time off that's different than what you normally take off. So in that respect, more so than any other positions, I think it's important for that reason, and it's important that Brady is out there with a lot of these receivers. The
was
rest
Taylor
of the
Price
positions,
there?
Yes. Yesterday he was listed. Good. Yeah.
So
haven't seen today's
52
list.
52 catches. I'm up in at 5.
To me, whether you do that 2 days or no days, it really doesn't matter.
I disagree.
Now, if he was doing it all summer, I say, yeah, that matters.
That was your chair,
but he's
right?
not.
That's what I mean. If they continue to do it, it's important.
But they're not going to be.
Well, we'll see.
Well, they already wasted March, April, May, and, you know, March, April, and May. We're just starting into June. So they already didn't do it for 3 months when they normally do. Right?
Yeah. So it's better that they're at least doing something now than nothing at all. If they had waited until training
it's
camp started.
It's better than nothing. It is better than nothing.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
Oh. So they're getting worse.
No, I just don't think it's better. It's any
they're
better
not making
than
any progress?
No, yeah. You got to
admit,
it's better than nothing.
I don't think there's enough time to get better.
Well, if they keep doing
it's better than nothing.
If they don't just do it for a couple days and they continue doing this 4 days a week, it's
That's what I said. If you were going to do it for the entire summer, that's different.
Yeah,
I'm just not even arguing that.
They're
I'm
not
just saying
going
they
to.
Can't be getting worse.
No, I don't think. No, no,
well,
I didn't.
Paul
say,
doesn't like it because
no,
you know if he was a player, he'd have to be getting up and doing it.
I don't think they're getting worse.
This job would be great if I didn't have to do off-season workouts when Brady calls.
The question was better than nothing, and if it's 2 days, I don't think that's any better than nothing.
Oh, I do.
I
Even
didn't say it was worse.
FaceTime,
I didn't say it was worse than nothing.
You know, maybe
camaraderie.
Mallett
it's 100%
Brady.
Team camaraderie.
But I also think some timing. I mean, do they have a young? They didn't draft a receiver, did they?
No. There might be some.
No, but Taylor Price is essentially.
It'd be good to have Brady
category.
Find out who Taylor Price is.
If he needs this, then I'm giving up on my Taylor Price thing. I'm cutting ties on that. I'm just talking about a receiver literally hearing Brady call the play and jogging out to where he's supposed to go. I think there's value in that, but they don't really have a candidate for that. I mean, Price, I'm not banking his whole season on these 2 days.
Unless
Farnham was there.
Maybe they're working with the running backs on some pass routes and short pass routes.
Sure, okay. We'll put
them in the
Shane Vereen, or Ben, as you call him.
Yeah.
I think it's valuable to him to hear the play, run out, you know, kind of think of his protection or whatever he's doing.
Right.
I think there's
minimal,
I'm saying minimal, but better than not doing it.
A little bit.
Right.
And that's better than nothing.
Right.
But even for 2 days.
Yes. I think 1 day. I think. One practice, 1 hour in the morning would be better than nothing.
Here's how we do
Maybe
it.
Maybe he's just thinking
and he's
about
hearing
it
directly from the quarterback.
Right,
right,
right, right, right.
Paul, Yemi from Texas is very upset with you.
Okay,
good. He says, can you tell Paul to stop pretending to be an idiot when talking about soccer?
He's not
he tried to take a cheap shot at soccer during your loan discussion by saying nobody cares about soccer. We get it, Paul. You don't like soccer, but you don't have to be a douche trying to demean the sport for no reason. Every time somebody mentions soccer, Paul is always making some wisecrack comment. Grow up, Paul. My sport is cooler than your sport. Stuff from you is childish.
Yeah, grow up.
I don't claim my sport is any better than anybody else's. That's
what
the
is
difference.
Your sport?
All of them, except for soccer.
Oh, drinking.
There you go.
Drinking. Miller Lite. Wish it wasn't a complete stranger,
because
I'd get on the next flight to Green Bay and find that SOB.
He's in Texas, actually.
And David Northpark.
What did that have to do with any of that conversation about soccer?
Just you getting angry.
Yeah, again, was, what did that have to do with any of that conversation?
That was a misplaced drop.
Who cares? He's at least trying today. This is the first day he's tried drops in months.
David Northpark suspects
show.
That Eric
kind of like the
has
2 days of practice.
Yes,
he'll not be any better. Not any better than nothing.
He'll be better for it in the long
run.
Proves my point. He'll be better for it in the long run.
David Northpark,
and he's Buddy Farnham. He's not Taylor Price. He's not really a long-term part of this show.
Fred's getting upset.
David Northpark suspects Eric has a girlfriend because he's been acting very chipper these days. Have you been chipper?
Ever since the beginning of Lent, I've made that, that turnaround.
Did you get your winky wet?
No. I would disagree with that. I think it's been angry Eric.
My bottom is really sore.
Did you go to Mississippi, Alabama? I had air quotes there.
No. Believe me, you will know when the time comes
doing
back again.
Through the office.
It's like Halley's Comet. You know, every 76 years.
I finally touched a girl.
Lubricants.
Bags
of sand.
It's been 6 years? It's quite a drought.
It's been a while.
It's like surface of the Mars drought. The Mars.
So you've been watching or looking at the Blake Lively photos then, huh?
Who's Blake Lively?
I heard those were fake.
Of course they're going to say they're fake.
Who's Blake Lively and what photos?
The photos, or the Leonardo
DiCaprio's ex?
She's a gossip girl.
She's
in Gossip Girl.
I don't think that's the automatic thing. Some celebrities put it out there on purpose.
What's going on? I haven't heard about this.
She had some naked cell phone photos in there.
Like Rep. Wiener. Representative Wiener.
You want to eat my salad?
I missed that conversation. The guy from New York, the congressman who was supposedly...
Yeah. They're worth looking at.
Strippers, forward these to Web Radio and Paul Schultz.
When you were saying they were fake, you were talking about the photos themselves, not the content of the photos, right?
Her tatas.
Right.
No.
Her teats.
She claimed that it wasn't her and was somebody who looked like
She's
her.
A cow.
Yes.
But the
She's
content,
they weren't
the content
her.
What was she
looks,
doing?
Looks
was she doing something in them?
No, she was just posing.
Just posing.
What was he doing? Fiddling
her
diddle? What are you looking for?
I don't know.
Straight out porn?
I don't know.
What are we talking about?
Playing Blake the old Lively. Violin, Andy?
Blake Lively.
Gossip Girl.
Violin?
Don't know her.
The Town?
The Town.
I don't either.
She was the slutty sister?
The drug addict sister?
Okay.
The Town?
Haven't seen it.
You saw The Town, didn't you?
I did. I liked it.
Good movie. Greg from the billing department writes in, speaking of photos being sent.
For you, Freddie, the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants or whatever that movie was, you probably saw that.
I didn't see that either.
You saw it, right?
No.
He wants to talk about seeing girly movies.
Right.
You know, this is a guy who puts it on and can't take his eyes off them.
Put what on? What are you talking about? Please, stop it.
The girly movies on TV.
I like high school movies. That's not necessarily
high school
girly movies.
Right.
Chick flicks.
He likes them underage.
Say anything.
I'm not a huge
Paul with a boombox. Except it's a case of Miller Lite.
Say anything was a good movie.
What?
Say Anything was a good movie.
If you were a girl in high school.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Is that John Cusack?
Yes.
I didn't see it. I just saw the
But you know the boombox.
I know the boombox.
Unbelievable frog.
And I don't know the
boombox. I know the boombox. They've shown that
spelling his
everywhere.
Name F-R-O-D all
I've
of a
never
sudden.
Seen the movie.
Frogkirsch.
Honestly. I've never seen it.
You know everything about it.
I know about the boombox. That's an iconic movie.
Nice. Those are real.
You know, clip.
Oh. Oh, yeah, wait, whoa, whoa. Scroll
Pardon
back
me
up.
For a second.
Scroll back up.
Oh.
No.
She's got nice tatas.
Greg
may
from
not
the billing
be real,
department.
Though.
I'm
does like her a lot.
Everybody is gathered around this computer.
No, I think
screen.
They're fake.
I don't know.
Push your screen toward me.
Everybody's gathered around the screen. Wait.
Who is this?
Blake Lively. Aptly named Lively.
I definitely would.
Lively Nips. All right.
Calm down.
Kevin, go back in your hole there.
Right.
He wants to get in the hole. That's what he's talking about.
We were trying to be tactful.
Show me the
where's your hole?
Go all the way up.
Those cookies
family.
She's pretty hot, huh?
She's
got a Tom Brady chin.
Yeah.
Greg from the billing
You've
department.
Never seen her before?
Hope
never
all
seen
is well, and I
life.
Hope you all enjoyed the pictures I sent you.
Not as much as we're enjoying Blake Lively's.
She's always tired, though.
Who?
Blake Lively. She's.
I wear her out.
She's not a very good actress.
Chaz Scalavino.
We did enjoy your pictures of your girlfriend, by the way.
Chaz Scalavino, you are not allowed to criticize how long it took me to send those pictures because you referred to me as a her. Last time I wrote in, and I did send in some pics the day I said I was going to, but my email was acting very funny. Not funny, haha, funny like Chaz. So it didn't go through.
Wait, why is this guy taking shots at me for something I didn't say about him?
I guess you called him a her.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember either.
That just means he
likes
you.
Well, I'm still a little depressed about the Bruins not being able to pull that one out last night, but it really was an amazing game. It's going to be a great series. So with the lockout still in place and none of the mini camps, rookie camps, and just camps in general – going on. Who do you think will be impacted the most from this? Do you think it's going to be one of the rookies? I personally think that it can really affect Taylor Price because of his jump needed just to understand the NFL game, and now he has no camps to help him build on top of that. And this rule change for unnecessary roughness. So when the defense gets flagged for tackling a running back whose forward progress gets stopped, what happens when the forward progress looks like it's stopped and nobody wants to hit him for fear of a flag and he runs a TD because the whistle hasn't blown? The words...
No.
See, I think it... But I think it still sticks to the nature of the hit. You can come in when the guy's forward progress appears to be stopped and, you know, get on the pile, knock him down. Make sure, you know, wrap him up like Eric always says. You know, you do the proper technique and you use your arms to tackle instead of your head. I don't think you're going to get a penalty for that.
Right.
But if you come in and you take that opportunity to hit that stationary cheap shot and you bury the guy with your helmet in the middle of his, you know, how many times you see that running backs get hit right in the chest?
Right in the solar plexus.
With those shots. I mean, I think you're going to get penalized.
Turned into a wrestling announcer.
He's been on the wrestling kick all day.
Yeah, that's weird.
The word.
Did you watch wrestling this weekend or something? Monday Night Raw.
I used to watch wrestling for a couple of years during the Rock's era.
You're like greased up men.
You love wrestling.
All right. The words.
You love. No. You love wrestling.
All right.
Quick little over-under game. Over-under game. Ready? Over-under. Regular season games played this season. 14.
Over.
Under.
Under.
Boo, Eric.
I'm going to say push.
Oh. Okay.
I think they're going to miss two games.
You didn't answer, Fred.
Over.
Thank you.
Merriweather missed tackle / tackling teammates.
Over.
Six.
Over.
Oh, over.
Yeah, that's way low.
The irony is he learned to rap last week.
But it was music. Da-dum. It wasn't tackling.
McCourty interceptions, six.
Under.
I'm going to say under two.
I'm going to say push.
Under two? You think he's going to have one
interception?
No, I'm
going to say under
as well.
Also.
I'm going to push.
Solder sacks allowed, three.
Over.
Yeah.
Light allows
under.
More than that.
Over
and he goes
also.
To the All-Pro.
Under.
Running backs with over 750 rushing yards, two.
Over.
Under.
Push.
Push.
750 yards?
Yeah.
Two backs.
Under. I think they're going to spread it out pretty nicely.
Ty Warren games played this season, four.
Over.
Okay.
That's a very negative view on Ty Warren. I don't care for
him. Maybe he thinks he's going to get traded.
You don't care for the tone in that suggestion?
Didn't say for the Patriots. It said games played. Ty Warren. Four.
Overall sacks by the defense, 21.
Under.
Oh, well over.
Over. They had
even in a bad year,
they
get in the mid-30s.
Over.
I know.
Over. No, that's not true. But
they had 36 last year.
Yeah, they've had 20 years.
Really?
Yeah, I think.
Not in the not since Belichick's been here.
I'm sure not.
They were in the 20s, I think, one year.
Might have been.
I think so, too. I remember writing it down.
All right. All right.
No, that's the show?
No.
Oh.
That's the show.
We still have 15 minutes.
I'm still looking at Blake Lively.
WebRadio@Patriots.com is the email address.
I had 29
508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
I like when Doc comes on the show, Andy.
I do, too, because he puts porn in front of me.
What else you got for us over there?
How about Smoke Show of the Day, Meredith? In case you didn't know, we're on barstoolsports.com.
I don't think that's her. Do you?
El Prez was actually here at a Rev game last weekend.
It looks a
she
lot
is
like
pretty
her
hot.
I can't believe you've never seen her, knowing your affinity for such things.
It
breasts?
Looks,
yes, I love breasts.
It looks a hell of
she
a
has,
lot like her.
She has good breasts.
Dude with no arms.
Oh. Let's see. Josh,
that's a nice
from,
rump. Whose rump is that?
Josh from Waterloo writes in, do you
it
think
is?
Rodney Harrison would still be decapitating people in the player-led practices? I do, and
oh,
I like
Blake
it.
Lively.
Man, he's not paying attention.
You guys missed that.
Guess that ass.
I think that's funny.
I didn't hear it, sorry.
That even in these player-led practices,
yeah.
Rodney Harrison would be taking guys' heads off.
Yeah, probably.
And Bruce could be jumping on piles?
Yeah, jumping over piles.
There'd be no piles, so he'd just fall on his face. Ah!
Yeah.
Hello, Vancouver.
Well, hello.
I'd like to Canuck her.
See,
Andy,
suck
on her Canucks.
The problem with that, it doesn't make for good radio because no one knows what the hell you're doing.
Oh, I like
doing.
The double one there.
You know, so can we focus on the show a little bit?
If you bring something to the table for me to focus
okay.
on.
Oh, okay.
You're being chastised.
Hey, Eric had to have one for each Canuck. You know what I
mean? Right. Good.
Turn that screen around.
Who's this? Who's Jamie Lee?
Oh, boy.
Turn the screen around.
Jamie Lee Darley?
You can't see from there?
No. Yeah, I can.
Oh, he's distracted.
Fred can't
he can't read emails if he's looking at
who. I don't mean turn it toward me. I mean turn it around so you can participate in the show.
Okay, he's a married man.
It doesn't matter.
He forgets sometimes.
It doesn't matter. He would still cheat on his wife.
Yeah, because according to you, Andy, you think cheating's bad.
That's right.
You don't think cheating's bad.
Oh, that's right.
Deidre would let me cheat with a celebrity with a hot like that.
Really?
Kirsch, oh, yeah.
We are this close to taking on the SOB's wife.
Not she's giving so you the green light. Okay, then.
I have the green light for Jessica Simpson.
Oh.
So in other
words, my wife would say, go ahead. Yeah. Shoot your best shot.
Simpson
see what you got.
A couple years ago or Jessica Simpson today?
Jessica Simpson, when she's hot, she goes up and down. Yeah. Which is a good thing.
She fluctuates.
All the time.
Craig from Ottawa writes in, been listening to all the podcasts after they're played. The Android application is garbage.
Yeah.
It does not stream live. It just has an error. All the other functions of the app work. But for listeners who want to tune in live, it's very frustrating. And I'm with Rogers in Canada. It definitely is not just Verizon. I also have worked for both Rogers and Verizon, and we use different networks. So get the IT guys working on the problem for other people, not on Verizon. Thanks. And I listened to Ray Lewis's comments about the crime rate going up. I think he meant the general public, not the players, would get into more legal trouble because we live vicariously through them.
No, right.
And we wouldn't have an outlet for that passion. I don't think he meant to say it the way it came off.
No, I think he did mean it exactly the way it came off. And we all took it to mean the general public.
The crime rate will go up because they have nothing
else
to do.
I know some people did think he was referring to players.
No, that was the joke.
That was the joke. I don't think anybody really
thought that. Nobody in their right mind thought that. One trade proposal for you.
They have nothing else to do.
Brandon Merriweather, Darius Butler, in our first round pick next year for Sean Phillips from San Diego.
What was the point? I don't think San
Merriweather,
Diego
Butler,
for
and a first rounder for Sean Phillips.
I don't think San Diego would be stupid enough.
I don't know if I would give up a first rounder for Sean Phillips.
I wouldn't.
I think he's a good player, but not a great player.
He's a guy who gets 10 sacks, not a 10 sack guy. If he's ever had 10 sacks, I don't know.
I think he might have.
Scroll down, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other two—they're not adding to that.
No.
Compensation there.
There you go, Andy.
Wow.
Relax in there.
Who's that?
Fred's mad because he's lost total control of the show.
Are these just nobodies now? They're not celebrities anymore?
No, these are.
They don't look like nobodies to me.
Lucy Mecklenburg?
People don't know what you're doing.
Oh, they know what we're doing.
Really?
Wanky, wanky, wanky.
I let Doc sit in for half an hour, and, you know.
He ruins the show.
He just sits there and looks at porn.
I should stay on the other side of the glass.
He's
huh?
been begging to be on the show for like 2 years, and I let him on, and
he's been
and
begging?
He, you know.
Why?
I used to sit there. I would chime in when I needed to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There you go. Gone.
Tim in Baltimore.
Money lines now open.
Tim in Baltimore wants to talk about the Rugby World Cup. I don't know if you heard, but NBC recently picked up the rights for the Rugby World Cup this year. Do you think that is, combined with a potential loss NFL season and the return of rugby to the Olympics, will increase the popularity of rugby?
Oh, was that
in
that state of origin game that somebody wrote in about the other day? Well, is that what that was?
I think that was
that was rugby.
They
was
were
rugby.
Saying Fox,
yeah,
though.
That's when I looked it up.
Yeah.
But if NBC, they'd put it on Versus. That's something that Versus would have.
It's not going to be rugby night in America.
Right. Has NBC officially lost the Olympic bid? Is that a done deal?
No idea.
I don't think so.
So then that's probably why they're doing it.
You know,
they're
trying to
bolster their ratings for the Olympics until ESPN steals.
But they're not going to put rugby on NBC. They'd put it on Versus.
ESPN's going after the Olympics?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there was rugby on NBC one week.
Somebody needs to stop ESPN.
Yeah.
It was like
becoming a monopoly.
That was one of the reasons that Ebersol left.
We need to.
Well, they wouldn't give him more money.
He wanted more money.
Yeah.
Right?
He came right out and said, you know, we couldn't agree on a contract. I'm out of here.
Wow.
And he's sick of the bureaucracy.
Right.
He doesn't want to.
And he's made $800 million.
Right. He's set for life.
So what does he care?
Right. But he also, Ebersol, had some tragedy in his life that kind of changed him.
That's true.
So.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, that has nothing to do with this, though. That's.
It might.
He's so far removed from that. I mean, that's.
Well, but it might give him the perspective to say, you know what, it's not worth it. Let me just get out. Maybe. Who knows?
Peter in Surrey, I think that this chat highlights a real important aspect of NFL policy when it comes to safety.
Yes.
Personally, I find MMA and Ultimate Fighting totally repulsive and see it as nothing more than base brutality and the opposite of entertaining. However, I have an appreciation for boxing as an art rather than two people just attacking each other. As there are rules, etc.
Yeah, I'm
There's
with
rules
you.
In MMA.
That's music to the ears of our old pal Mike Parenti. Remember, he used
that's
to.
True.
That's true.
This is where I see it linking into football and safety. The NFL is a high-contact sport played with aggression and competitiveness. Players can and will try to hurt each other and have to be allowed to within the rules of the game. Players understand these risks and play knowing them. The game authorities need to remember this. You can't avoid players getting hurt. Give the guys on the pitch some leeway. Hits like Merriweather's on Heap should be punished because they are outside of the laws and designed only to hurt. But hits like Harrison's, which are hard and intended to hurt, but are generally within the rules or within an attempt to play the game, should be allowed, and particularly hits which ride up. American football needs to be a game where people are allowed to hurt people within a scheme of rules. Anyway, didn't die on my birthday Tuesday, just as at times it was touch and go. Were we worried about Peter? Was he having trouble on his birthday?
Was he the one that went to the
yeah, the 18-year-old.
Oh, he's going to the pub.
Went to the pub.
And he ended up in Surrey.
Yes.
Well, sounds like it was a good birthday for Peter.
Peter's?
Peter?
TG and NJ, listening to the PFW, looking at porn online, this is what the NFL has become.
It's not porn. It's not what the NFL has become. It's what the NFL has always been.
And it wasn't porn.
Maybe you guys,
I saw a nipple, but.
Maybe you guys should cover the Lingerie Football League instead. I know Andy
would
mind.
That would be
mind.
Fun. I'd cover it with something.
Do you get to go in the locker room afterwards and do your interviews?
I only need a second in there.
Oh. All right, I'm done.
He's unbelievable.
He's unbelievable.
You hired him twice. We want to tell you.
It's true.
Fool me once, shame on me.
Right.
No, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on you. That's right.
Way to screw up the cliche.
That's the one. What's the one you always screw up about?
I screw them up intentionally, though. It's part of my endearing humor.
There's one that you always screw up
for all
that you
intensive
don't know.
Purposes.
No.
Elk, as I like to say?
No. There's one of those things that you always.
Old wise
tale? Oh, good money after bad.
Good money
you, always,
after bad.
You always call it bad money after good.
Yeah.
Good money after bad.
G4 Driver in Georgia agrees with Andy about the planes. He said props are for boats, not planes.
I agree.
I would agree with that, too.
Get a jet boat, too, if you wanted, though.
Yeah. Jet ski. And let's see some older ones. Juan from Texas about the tornado. Tornado warning is worse than watch. The reason I know is I remember when my house got destroyed. We were in then in a warning. A few minutes later, the tornado sirens went off. A little late for that, I guess, huh?
That shot of
that's awful.
The water going across the bridge.
I haven't seen that.
It's incredible.
Tremendous. I haven't seen that.
It's like sucking
up.
It up.
All
like
you
vacuum.
All you needed for that was a boat, like a little boat floating along.
Oh, man. Right but the up. Thing that was cool.
Yeah, that would have made it great.
Not with people in it, just a floating boat, a stray boat.
Yeah,
I know. But it was interesting to see that none of the cars got swept off the bridge. They were all still there as they panned across.
Can you imagine just sitting there going,
and that
I'm gone.
There's nothing I can do.
There was an aerial shot of the airport.
I'm gone. There's nothing I can do about it.
With the planes scattered all over the surrounding wooded areas.
They always say it can go down one side of the street and leave the other foul.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you see some of the shots?
Yeah.
I mean, there was literally houses ripped right off their foundations. Right. And
across the street, there was nothing.
Next door or across the street, nothing. That, it's just.
It's God. Because it's concentrated in that
that's
funnel.
That's just God.
That's
right
just
there.
God.
Right there.
It is.
Don't
mock it.
Steve from Toronto says, Fred, you need a comic book. Because he can visualize me getting out of my black caddy in my outfit to fight crime with a mask and a fedora and a cigar.
And is this Jake Steele, by the way? I mean, have you?
Oh, yeah. Would you go by that? Yeah.
I think Jake Steele.
Jake Steele?
Yeah.
Would you have, like, initials on your costume like most of the superheroes do?
No.
Or?
No, I wouldn't do that.
What's it going to look like then?
All gray, so
it
looks
yet.
Like Steele.
Well,
give us
it
it's a work in progress. That's why it's PFW in progress.
All right. Tell me.
Will you have the chest?
2 years. He'll have a back to you.
Right. I'll find time in 2 years.
I think you should include a fedora.
Let him take
part
a snapshot of you, and then he'll trace.
So are you doing?
But the
a lot
fedora
of
is a weapon too, right?
You
can do stuff with it.
What do you think of that?
What's that? I'm sorry, I was
the
talking
fedora.
About.
He had a separate conversation going on this radio show.
It's a weapon.
Yeah, it's
yes,
a
you
weapon.
Can, you can
throw
you can use it like a Chinese star,
something like that.
Right,
yeah.
And it'd be boomerang because it would come back to you.
Yeah,
and cut his head off.
Right,
and that's the end of Jake Steele.
Would you wear a mask?
Yes, you have to wear a mask.
Oh, yeah.
No one
has
to know his
identity.
Right.
No cape, but a mask.
No cape. That's
full
over the top.
Just a little like
a full mask.
It might be just
Robin.
A Thurman Munson mustache or something like that.
Or like a Robin, like Batman and Robin. They used to have just like the eye mask.
Yeah, and then
Kato used to
one
have
could
the
tell
mask.
Who they
right?
Were.
Right,
that's great.
Yeah. Well, Superman took his glasses off and nobody could tell.
I got to work. First, I got to get my MMA training. It all begins with that.
Okay.
First, you got to drop 100 pounds.
Well, that'll be part of the training.
No, it's supposed to be a fat superhero.
Right.
A fat, slovenly
he'll
superhero.
Definitely be the first.
People take
he comes out with a cigar.
People
part
underestimate
part of the shame.
Exactly.
They think it's just an old man coming out of a Cadillac.
Right.
Until
and
they get their
ass kicked.
Right. Until they get their ass kicked.
I don't know. He has a lethal fedora.
A lot of elbows and knees.
That's right.
You won't be able to catch him. You'll be sucking wind.
Followed closely by the man groomer.
He doesn't have to chase them. He's got the fedora.
He's got the fedora that he throws like a boomerang.
Ain't you listening?
And then when I'm interrogating, I take out my cigar and I poke it in their eye.
Exactly. And then when you talk, you have to change your voice. You have to say, what do you think you're doing here?
No, I like the Jewish voice. Use that one.
Who would win in
that would be
a
Jewish superhero.
You tried to run?
You're going to rob the bank? That's not your money. You think it's your money? It's not your money.
That's the best thing he does, bar none.
Phenomenal.
You're missing the hand gestures, too, because he's got the
he does
he's got
it
the
so
hands
well,
up
I
here.
Can't even impersonate him impersonating it.
Is that what you did on your interview?
I was going to say, do you talk to the owners that way?
No. All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW.
I dare you. Since you only have 2 hours left.
I've decided that we're going to have little workouts. We're going to get together and work out.
Oh, okay, Team PFW?
But we're not going to go to BC.
What's that now?
We're going to go to the Perkins School for the Blind. So
yeah, I live right next door to it.
All right, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.